It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on back. It's another edition of Unrivaled. Thanks for coming back to us. Thanks for hanging out. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. I walked in today and I went, hey, anything happened while we were gone from yesterday? And of course, as the news started to trickle out last night, we wondered when this was going to happen. It was either going to be today or it was going to be Thursday. And thank heavens it was today. I just love being able to, any day possible to be able to get the Big 12 schedule drop. And it's the thing that BYU fans, you've been looking forward to for freaking ever. And they've been dragging this thing out. They're finally able to put this thing together. It seemed like it wasn't going to happen. And then here we are. BYU finally gets their first Big 12 schedule in the P5. Is it P5 anymore, Scott? What do we call this now? There's no more P5s, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know if we were going to call them that anymore.
What are you calling?
No, I don't know. Whatever the new version of the big conferences that are going to be important going forward.
They have the same conferences.
I know, but you know, it's going to change. So at some point, P5 is going to be It's just going to be well, because they're going to have super conferences. It's going to be like the P4
they're not.
P3.
They're not going to have super conferences.
All right. Well, for right now, BYU is, it just feels real. And I know BYU fans feel like, I know they feel like this is exactly what you've been looking forward to. There have been some things on the schedule. You knew it wasn't going to be perfect. It wasn't going to be exactly the way you wanted it. I wanted to see a split of Texas and Oklahoma in Provo and at wherever, and I'm glad that it ended up being at Oklahoma. Let's get into all of it. We've got everything to jump into today. Mitch Harper's going to join us. We're going to also get some breakdowns from experts across the country. We're going to get all sorts of fun stuff to chat about. Plus a special message that Oklahoma State put out. Now that that's the new rivalry, since it's the final game of the year down in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And we've got a special message from their school. It was nice of them to send that as well. We have all of it. Let's kick it off here. Let's talk about it. Let's get the schedule out. Let's break it out, and let's chat about it here with The Cut.
The Unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, The Cut and the program brought to you by G2G Bars. Additive-free, preservative-free. It is a protein bar that is amazing. If you need that quick, tasty, and nutritious protein-packed boost, G2G Bar is for you. And also Trajan Wealth. Trusted local financial fiduciaries. Get a hold of them. Go to their website, TrajanWealth.com. Scott Mitchell, first reactions here as we get the schedule rolls out, and we all started looking at the fine print. Where's this thing going? Where's everybody going to go? Who's your first team that you're playing in the Big 12? I think that, and I actually had a ton of people who, when this was put out there on social media, and I think when I kind of like, you know, like everybody else was reacting to everything, the very first things that I saw on there, a lot of reaction from Utah fans who were like, hey, you know what? We remember what this felt like. And do you remember the drop of the Pac-12 schedule?
I don't know that I remember the drop so much. I think the thing with Utah, and this is what's been going through my mind now that the schedule's here, because you look at it and you go, okay, how winnable is the schedule? I mean, where do you actually play? And so my first thought with Utah was, this team can, like, compete to go to the Rose Bowl. That was the very first thought I thought. Like they can compete. And then you know what happened through the first season? They could have gone to the Pac-12 championship their very first season.
Yep. Colorado took it away from them.
And you could tell at that time they just didn't believe that they could really do that, right? Like, that was just like,
we're not supposed to be here yet.
No. This is more than we can comprehend at this moment. And I just have to wonder if that same thing is in store for BYU. You know, everybody talks about, well, they played this independent schedule. And because they played that independent schedule, it's actually done more to prepare them to play in a Power 5 conference. And I'm not sure that I've totally bought on to that notion, because where recruiting changed for Utah, and I believe BYU, is once they were in a Power 5 conference. And I'm not sure that you totally see the fruits of how your recruiting improves until a few years down the road. There were some 5-7 seasons at Utah, and there were some lean years. But here's the thing that BYU has going for it, I think, above anything else. Going into this Power 5 conference, and here's the schedule, is finally here. BYU has a tradition. They have a tradition of football's important to this university. It's important to a lot of people that played here. There's a lot of alumni. There's a tremendous support group behind it. And because of that, then there's a willingness to invest in it and a willingness to really take part in it. And that's the best thing that BYU has going for it. Are they there now? No, they don't. Nobody, you and I, nobody is sitting here can go, oh, this is what's going to happen. Nobody. Nobody. And it may turn out to be an absolute disaster and awful that first year. It may turn out to be better than expected. It's like, oh, my goodness, we're kind of competing. We're right in it for the championship. It's just, that's what's exciting, because it could be just any of these things. And you know what the reality of it is? It doesn't matter. Like, this doesn't matter because you have a hall pass. Like your BYU, it's like you're going into a new, so there's no expectation.
Is there really? Because like
No,
I'm the same way. I feel the same way as you do, where I'm like, hey, let's, you know, again, this goes back to a big theme we always talk about on this show. Fans, learn how to manage your expectations.
Yes.
You've got to figure out what is the reality of your team, what is the reality of the future here. And then set that. I'm not saying set your sights low. I'm not saying set the bar low. What I'm saying is just know what you have right now, which is a brand new Big 12 schedule. And, you know, a team that's just not up to snuff talent-wise right now with the rest of the group, or at least with, you know, the top third of the group. And that's okay. Like, why not be in that spot? And that's not a diss on BYU as much as it is just to go, you've got to have some time to grow. And now that when you actually see the path, when you actually start to see the game, and let's go through the schedule here. So let's look at some of these games. And if you're looking at it, and I know that when we posted it on KSLSports.com, Mitch Harper already had his breakdown of this thing, and it's an interesting look into where they're going to be going. Some places are familiar, some places are not so. Some places, I mean, but BYU's played, I think, every team on their schedule. In this version of it. Now, some of them, obviously, they haven't played for a long, long time. But I was looking at this, and somebody posted it, and I remember looking at what this could have been. BYU was going to play Tennessee, Virginia, Utah State, and Arkansas to start things out. And you're like, man, that's a great out-of-conference schedule, because now it's gone to Sam Houston State, Southern Utah, and Arkansas. So you have this Tennessee game go away, or that Virginia game go away. The Utah State rivalry is taking a hiatus for who knows how long. But then here's what the non-Big 12 schedule was going to look like. Rice in Provo. Get excited, right, that game's not happening. At Fresno State, that's a pretty decent game. Boise State's off the schedule. I could go the rest of my life without BYU playing USF, the South Florida Bulls again. UNLV, that's nothing compared to what you're going to be getting.
So what you are getting is you're going to replace a Boise State with a – maybe an Iowa State.
Or a TCU.
Or a Texas right. Tech. I'm just looking at home games right now. And those are, you know, I think that's a good trade-off. If you're, yeah, it was a nice tradition with Boise State and all that stuff, but it's just it's a bigger brand. It's more well known as a brand. But I'll tell you what, there's a stretch in here that's kind of unkind.
It's supposed to be.
An unkind stretch in here.
Well, let's go from the beginning. Sam Houston stayed at home. Or Sam Houston at home. Is it Sam Houston State?
Houston State.
So Sam Houston State at home. They spell Bearcats with a K, which I already don't like those guys because they spell Bearcats with a K.
Well, it's like a Kit Kat.
I guess. Southern Utah at home at Arkansas. And that was already on the schedule.
So that's a return trip. You're 2-1.
Okay, go 2-1 in that stretch. Maybe. At most. At best. At Kansas.
Winnable.
That's your first Big 12. Your first Big 12 game in the history of your school is going to Lawrence, Kansas, and taking on the Kansas Jayhawks. That's nice. I think that's a great start. Whomever it would have been. If you would have said, pick the worst team on that list, and most people would have said Kansas.
Although Kansas
they've definitely not
game last year.
Yeah, they weren't 2-10 like we've seen them be before. And then you host Cincinnati, so a nice new member of the Big 12 coming to Provo. And the not nice stretch, I think, is the one you're referring to. Well, I don't know. Basically, the second half of the schedule. It says that they're off on October 7th. That's going to be that bye week, I guess. Then, right? You get the bye week on October 7th, and then here's the stretch.
This is ugly.
At TCU.
So you got to fly there.
Yeah, that's what they usually do. They don't drive.
Right. That's in the middle of Texas.
Well, it's in that
roughly a 3-hour flight.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not a long trip, though. Come on. They've done way longer. Then they host the Texas Tech Red Raiders at home.
That's very kind.
That's nice.
Yeah.
They go down to Texas Memorial Stadium in Austin to take on the Longhorns.
Another 3-hour flight.
Last time they were down there, they got the W, though. Taysom Hill jumping over people, getting the win.
Yeah. Taysom Hill doesn't play at BYU.
No, he does not.
Just saying.
I'm just saying, last time they were there, they beat him. At West Virginia the very next week.
That's more than a 3-hour flight.
Do you stay in Texas, do your classes virtually, and then head the rest of the way?
No.
So you go back to Provo.
You go back to Provo. So in a month's time, they're going to have three-plus-hour flights.
Yeah. At TCU, they're home with Texas Tech, at Texas, and then at West Virginia.
Yes.
So that's a long
– and all I'm saying is – it's just the accumulative effect of a lot of long travel.
You think that's a real problem? Come on.
I do, yes.
It's going to be what the future is, though.
It's not like it's just so detrimental. But there have been a lot of studies done with a lot of these longer flights to travel, and it takes something out of you. It just, you don't quite have the edge. You're just a little bit off. You're just not quite up to what you would normally be, and it just works that way. Don't ask me why, it just does.
Now this is the at Texas, at West Virginia, those are two road trips that are, and at TCU, those are tough games. West Virginia is not good, but I'm saying that is a long trip. Then you come home for 2 weeks in what's going to be a historic go here. BYU hosting Iowa State. And then BYU hosting Oklahoma the next week. Iowa State, Oklahoma, and then at Oklahoma State. How far is that plane ride, Scott? Is that another 3 hours?
It's about 3.5.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing about, if you look at the schedule, okay, there's no question the biggest moment for BYU football in this season is Oklahoma in Provo. Like, that is the big moment. Like, I mean, you know, playing Texas is great. Playing these other schools, you know, whether it's TCU is an opponent that BYU is aware of. Cincinnati is a newcomer, just like BYU. Kansas isn't, you know, they may be good, they may not be good. Oklahoma State at Oklahoma, okay, that's good, but it's the fact that one of the blue blood programs in the country is coming to Provo, and that to me is what this whole move is all about. Is you're now in big time football as a normal everyday exercise. As you just, you know, this is what we do now. We play Oklahoma in Provo. We play the Texas. We play a schedule that this is not a this is a hard schedule.
Well, I mean, with how wild the Big 12 was last year, because I look at the schedule versus what the standings were in the Big 12. I think the Big 12 took an interesting turn this year that people didn't necessarily expect. Right, to see them.
I think everyone thought Baylor was going to kind of be a team that had kind of set itself apart
right.
as the new leader of the conference. I think people thought, well, you know, Oklahoma is down and out, and Texas may be down and out, and it looks like Texas might be better than we thought, and Oklahoma might not be. But, you know, and then I think everyone else thought that I think the most recognizable, the most established, the most secure program would be Oklahoma State.
Yeah. No, and I think
who knows? I mean, just
Oklahoma finished the season 3-6 in the conference.
Yes.
And with a losing record, 6-7 overall. Kansas was also 3-6 and 6-7. Baylor was 4-5 in conference and 6-7 overall. The only five teams with winning records last year were obviously the TCU Horned Frogs, who finished the conference 9-0, though they lost in the conference championship game to Kansas State. So they go 13-2. Kansas State goes 10-4. They go 7-2 in conference. Texas goes 6-3 and 8-5. And then Texas Tech went 5-4 and 8-5. I don't think that top four was anywhere. No one picked that parlay, right? No one went to Vegas with that one.
No.
And goes, it's got to be TCU, Kansas State, Texas, Texas Tech. I think people even thought Texas was going to be even further down, but they ended up improving a little bit. When you have Texas Tech coming to Provo and you go to Texas and to TCU and to Oklahoma, that is – and Oklahoma State – or no, sorry, Oklahoma comes to Provo and then Oklahoma State on the road – That's quite a go. And I know the West Virginia was they weren't that great in conference, and Iowa State had an abysmal year for them because they have been toward the top third of that conference over the last couple of years. But historically, Iowa State doesn't live at the top of the conference.
No.
So what happens next year in the Big 12? You've got four new teams coming into this thing. You're adding Houston, you're adding Cincinnati, adding BYU, and you're adding UCF. And all these teams, I mean – to have to juggle a 14-team conference versus a 10-team conference, that's why it got wild, right, with the scheduling and trying to figure out Texas and Oklahoma and what they're going to do. I don't know if Texas and Oklahoma are going to be done after this one, if they're going to negotiate getting out of the conference, and then there'd be a return trip, you know, Texas.
We got to go to Provo,
no,
Utah. We're just going to forfeit the whole season. Fine, we'll just sit out. We're just going to sit out.
I love it.
Let's just let it sit out.
Oklahoma is one of those programs that would never give you that. They would never give you that option. This is what conference football is about.
Yeah.
They would never say, "And we'll come back to Provo." That just doesn't happen. That we'll play at a neutral site, and they lost last time they played BYU, right, at a neutral site when they were the number three team in the country. So all these things that you look at and how this thing stacks up, you can't. If you're a BYU fan, you finally have done it. It is so much freaking work that you've done to get here. It has been such a long road. Think about the despair that you felt. And even this year, think about the despair that you felt on that four-game losing streak. Liberty, get out of here. I never want to see your faces again. East Carolina, I hope you fall into the Atlantic Ocean. I never want to see that program again. Like, there are things that I'm so glad that independence is over. And to be able to have games that mean something. I'm going to tell you what happened today. My son texted me, and you shouldn't be on your freaking phone at school, Cooper. All right, first of all.
Is that what he texted you?
He texted me. I saw the schedule. Look at this. And he sends me, I love how he sends me a screenshot of the schedule. Hey, Dad, like breaking news, Dad.
Look,
I'm in science
class.
Your
son's trying to bond with you.
No,
just
I know.
Let him have the
I
text.
Know. And I said, look how awesome
get
this
off
is.
Off your phone.
And he goes, and I didn't say that to him. I said, what's your favorite part? He goes, oh man, Oklahoma coming to Provo, because this kid has seats to the game.
Yeah.
He goes to these games. So as a 14, 15 year old who has been going to games since he was real little, and now gets to have a back end of his season that means something. At Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Imagine the Oklahoma 11-18 when they come in on the 18th of November, okay? And it is bitter cold. Lord, I pray it's cold. That Oklahoma comes in and has to have all that. And I've loved watching big programs coming in here. BYU has hosted many a big program, but not other than the circumstances of being conference members with those teams. And so the kid who's going to be sitting in the seats and watching games that matter October through the end of November, that's the person who really wins here. And Kalani Sitake and his team, they got a lot of long, long road ahead of them. And I think they're building their...
Is it really a long
yes,
road,
Yes, it
though?
Is. It is
really
going to be.
A long road?
It's not going to...
Come on. So you said you looked at this schedule. Okay, you looked at... And BYU plays the four worst-placing teams in the conference.
Awesome.
Oklahoma, Kansas, West Virginia, Iowa State.
Yeah, but you look at Oklahoma and go, man, that's one of the worst teams in the Big 12, man.
But
it's like the first losing season in however long, I don't know.
Well, and maybe they're in for more of that. You know, maybe the Lincoln Riley magic is gone, because there are times when Oklahoma hasn't been very good. And of course they play TCU, which was the top team, and they play Kansas, or I mean at Texas and Oklahoma State, and you know, so they play four of the teams that played well and four of the teams that played poorly. I mean, let's say you beat all the poor teams. And let's say you beat two of the good teams.
And you go 6-3?
You go 6-3 in the conference. That's respectable.
Or no, what are they? It's nine games, right? It's a nine. Yeah. Okay.
Six and three is nine.
6-3. I know. I can't remember.
So this year, 6-3, Texas is the 25th ranked team in the country.
Right.
And their non-conference, they go 8-4 overall. And is that right? And so that puts BYU in the top 25 in the country.
Hey, will you stop doing this?
No.
Will you stop putting...
Why is that so unreasonable?
It's not that it's unreasonable, but I will say...
Here's the problem with it not being reasonable, is that they have to play really good teams every week.
Yes.
Right? And so there's just going to be attrition. But they can play with anyone on their schedule. And on it, and you know... God willing, and all things, you know, work out right, they can win.
Yes. I'm all for it.
Maybe the hardest team on their schedule is Arkansas, who's not even in their conference.
Oh, boy. I bet they can't wait to be in West Lafayette next year.
I'll tell you the hardest game.
What is it?
It's going to be at Texas.
I think
Texas is rounding.
Texas was that 2013. Look,
Arch Manning finds his student ID.
Texas He'll be fine.
Is, man, they're going to be on a roll. They are going to be on a roll.
If he's able to beep into the weight room, man, with his student ID, the sky's the limit for that kid. Do you think he's really going to be the guy?
No.
You don't think he's going to be starting? Or do you think he's going to get hurt?
I think he's the most overrated.
Oh, boy. I hope that he's playing. Arch Manning.
I think he won't as a freshman, and I think after that he'll be lights out.
Well, it's just so exciting to watch this thing. And I was trying to see who had the hardest go as a conference member, because it's hard to figure out, you know, a team like TCU who opens up hosting Colorado, you know, that game suddenly looks like that's a really freaking fun game to watch, right?
So in my trolling of Coach Prime,
yes,
I was watching some Shadur.
Yes.
Sanders, he's...
But you saw the same thing I did. It's like in pads.
No.
Oh, game foot?
No, I watched game foot.
Okay.
And I'm like, hmm.
He's a four-star kid.
Mm.
Is that the noise you made?
You know what? Okay, there's some more substance here.
Oh, my gosh.
TCU's going to beat Colorado.
But it still is. It makes it way more interesting. And you look at across the conference, to put together that schedule, the reason it took so dang long is 14 teams and trying to really stick it to Oklahoma and Texas. That's a tall task.
Ooh.
And you look at Texas's schedule, and they got to go to Oklahoma, to Baylor, to Houston, to TCU, to Iowa State. They host BYU, Kansas State, and Texas Tech, and Kansas. Their home games are...
No, they have Rice,
Wyoming. They got Rice, Wyoming. I'm just saying in conference. Yeah. So their in-conference games, though, are home against Kansas, home against BYU, home against Kansas State, and home against Texas Tech. But they go on the road for some tough ones. I'm surprised they didn't make them go to... I mean, look, that's not that fun going to Houston. Make them go to Central freaking Florida,
yes,
man.
That's punishment right there. Make him go to Central Florida.
And Oklahoma got off easy, too, because they get to host Central Florida. See, this is – I already am – now, they got to go to Cincinnati, which is, like, the weirdest thing. Make Oklahoma go to Cincinnati. Make Oklahoma go to BYU. That's hilarious. I love it. So many things to talk about with this schedule. We have a ton to talk about here. We'll take our first break. We'll come back. We'll chat a little bit more about it. And when we do return, as I get my stuff opened up here, did I say the Trajan Wealth thing, Jer? Yeah. Okay. We got it. All right. So I want to make sure everybody knows we got our Jazz at 30 update coming around the corner. Shihan J. Haraja is going to come on the program, college football writer for CBS Sports. And he's going to break down this Big 12 schedule. So just stay here. We've got more going around the corner. Plus, I told you, a message from T. Boone Pickens from the grave. They figured this out. They knew that they were going to get new conference members a few years ago. And they had him record some stuff before he passed. So we'll have that. Plus much more. Stay right here with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented baby, by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. House band of the day, 311, as Jeremy just goes through his pics of his childhood. Is that what's going on here? Yes.
Today it was. I was in the
I'm okay with it because we went to school at the same time. So I'm like, it's all good.
Never heard of him.
I know you haven't. Again, it's the blind spot Scott had while he was in the NFL. That's fine. Brought to you by LiveNation.com. There's your house band of the day, 311. Man,
that's really the name of a band.
Yes, 311. I can picture.
Wow.
I can picture that like stylized graffiti 311 in my head, like that. You know, the look of their albums. So, all right, awesome day for college football fans across the South and East. Well, all over the country now that the Big 12 basically covers every time zone, save the Pacific time zone. But we are excited about this one because the college football or the Big 12 schedule dropped. And, of course, helping us understand a little bit more of this one from CBS Sports. He covers college football. Shihan J. Haraja joining us on the program. What's going on, Shihan?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
First reaction, when this thing dropped, is there anything wild on this schedule that stands out? I mean, I know it's a lot. I think that's the reason that it took a while is because it's a lot. 14 teams to schedule and to try to stick it to Texas and Oklahoma all at the same time, it's a tall task.
Yeah, you know, it definitely took, I think, a little longer than people expected. Back when we talked to Brett Yormark at the Big 12 title game, he said that he hoped to have the schedule out in the middle or late December, but I do think that there were just so many moving parts. And remember, through all of this, you know, the Big 12 has to kind of keep in mind a general sort of scheduling premise that it wants to maintain heading forward. You know, this is for at least the next year, this is going to be a 14-team league, potentially up to 2 years. And so I think that there were just a lot of moving parts. And so, like you said, whenever it finally did come out, it was kind of like a massive information. But I do think that that ultimately, you know, I think they did a good job of sort of balancing these schedules. And I'm really excited to get to see these new four additions in the league.
So back to Alex's original comment, we get it. They're trying to balance it out. They're trying to play nice. But come on, did they stick it to Texas and Oklahoma? That's what we want to know.
I don't think that they especially stuck it to Texas and Oklahoma. You know, Texas, I think, finishes the year pretty tough. But, you know, overall, I think that these schedules are pretty balanced. And here's the thing, too. I mean, when you look at the Big 12 heading into 2023, I mean, out of the 14 teams in the league, I believe it's 12 teams were bowl teams last year. So I don't think that there's an easy schedule to be found anywhere. But I also don't think that there's necessarily one where a team maybe got screwed as much as another. The one thing that that Texas probably got to their advantage is that they don't have to leave the state all that much. But part of that, you know, we kind of see down here in Texas, all of the Texas schools are going to be playing each other at least one more go round. You know, and that's maybe something that I expected. But you know, I think that trying to get all those pieces working together definitely makes things just a little bit tougher.
Yeah, I think people look and they go, you can have a beef with something on the schedule here and there. I know some people, I think Oklahoma State was like, no Texas, that's lame, you know, because if this is potentially their last year in the league and we don't get to play Texas again, then I don't know, maybe they don't like them enough to be able to get there. But I think for a team like BYU and obviously Houston, Central Florida, and Cincinnati, eyes are wide for fan bases now because they got the schedule. It feels more tangible. But we were also talking about managing expectations. Out of those four, who performs the best next year in their very first go in the Big 12?
It's a great question. And I think that, you know, the big thing that you have to look at, I think that when you're looking at the state of the four teams, I like where BYU is positioned the best. I think that they've got a staff that they like. I think that they've recruited at a really high level. I think that they have probably as good an identity as any of the teams. But, you know, I think that obviously you have to look at that they're transitioning through a quarterback, Jaren Hall heading to the draft and a couple other great players. So, you know, I think that they're going to have a great chance. Cincinnati is a big question mark for me after losing Luke Fickell. They're a very talented roster, but Scott Satterfield obviously stepping into a new situation and kind of trying to replace some of the big pieces. I think that's going to be a big question mark. UCF is probably the team last year that was the best of the group, but, you know, similar sort of deal. You know, they kind of faded down the stretch. They didn't necessarily have an amazing season, and Houston was really supposed to have sort of that breakout season in 2022, and it didn't happen. So, you know, when I look at program health, I think that probably BYU is probably the program that's healthiest heading into the league. In terms of in year one, though, I probably think that with what UCF has coming back, that's probably the team to beat right now.
So of the teams that are already there, I think it was maybe a bit of a surprise that TCU actually had the season they had.
Well, that top four was kind of a weird order.
Yeah, it was just kind of an interesting thing. Who is the team to beat in the conference? Who's gonna win the conference?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. This is one of the toughest years to figure that out that there's been in a very long time. Because I look at the two teams that were in the title game last year, TCU and Kansas State, and I would be pretty surprised if both of them are back, just because of how much each of those teams are losing. TCU loses quarterback Max Duggan, wide receiver Quentin Johnston, the Thorpe Award winner and Travis Hodges Tomlinson, and All-American offensive lineman and Steve Avila. And similar deal when you look at Kansas State. Deuce Vaughn is off to the NFL. You know, they're going to be breaking in some new receivers. They're going to lose the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year in Felix Anadike Uzomah. So I think that those two teams are starting a little bit behind the eight ball. You know, when I look at the league right now, I think that the team that probably has a small advantage heading into the year probably is Texas. I think that, you know, they bring back a lot of their production on both sides of the ball. I think that Quinn Ewers in the second season is poised to improve. Adding A.D. Mitchell, a wide receiver from Georgia, I think will only help. But, you know, I don't think that their advantage is by any means dominant. You know, the last couple of years, we've had a team that's been picked fifth or lower in the conference come through and have a chance to play in the title game. And I absolutely think that'll be the case again this year. I think there will be a team to break out. And, you know, when I look down the board again, you know, could it be UCF? I think that that's definitely possible. Could it be a team like Texas Tech? They really finished the year strong with a bowl victory over Ole Miss in the Texas Bowl. You know, they would definitely be a surprise, but I think that this year is in for surprises. So right now, I think that the early leader in the clubhouse is Texas, but it is by no means a dominant number one right now.
You know, here locally, you know, just over 10 years ago, we were watching Utah with their invite to the Pac-12. And how long that took for them to get not one but two Pac-12 championships, I think was, you know, remarkable to be able to, in a decade, well, and even way less than a decade, to be competitive in the league. How long does a league like this take to be competitive, especially for teams like even Houston and Cincinnati that have, you know, pretty good recruiting overall, but BYU and UCF who, you know, are going to admittedly have to build themselves up to that level before they can start competing. So what's an expectation for teams to be able to come in and start to be competitive? Because I know that's the biggest question that BYU fans have is like, when can we start to look and be competitive in this conference?
No, it's a really good question. And, you know, to answer it, I'd look at TCU, right? TCU entered the Big 12 back in 2012 as well. By 2014, they were competitive for the Big 12 championship. But to make that happen, they had to completely transform what they were. They weren't sort of this pro-style ball control team anymore under Gary Patterson. They had to evolve with the times and bring in Trevon Boykin at quarterback and bring in a really dynamic offense. And, you know, even then, you know, it was kind of a short stint at the top of the conference, and then they were kind of cycled back through too. The nice thing about the Big 12 right now for anybody is that there is not a dominant team, especially when Texas and Oklahoma leave. There is no obvious Goliath to get over the hump. So I do think that makes the path just a little bit easier. But, you know, when you talk about competing year in and year out for the conference, I do think that it often takes about 3 to 5 years before you really find your rhythm, not just because you need to sort of build things up from a recruiting and talent perspective, although that's a big part of it, but also because I think that it takes a minute for a school to really build their identity within a conference. And BYU's in an interesting position because they've been an independent for so long. And, you know, so they've kind of created a version of themselves that can do a little bit of everything. Well, I think that sometimes when you are in a conference and you play the same teams year in and year out, you have to, I think, kind of pick a lane in some ways. And so I'm fully confident that Kalani Sitake will do it. The other thing that I think that BYU has going for it relative to other teams that are joining conferences is that, you know, they've played numerous Power 5 teams every single year for the past couple of years, especially under the staff, and had a lot of success. And obviously beating Baylor last year is among that. And so I think that the jump won't be quite as high for them as maybe it is for some other teams. So I think, though, that in terms of consistent competitiveness and really finding your place in the conference, I think 3 to 5 years is about right.
You know, it'll certainly be fun to watch for BYU fans to just see if, you know, what you've said is accurate. You know, that's been a lot of the talk here, just that independent schedule's kind of given them a little bit of a leg up on making that transition. I'm kind of curious about Oklahoma. You know, where are they? They seem to fall off last year. Are they going to be competitive, or, you know, what's the state of Oklahoma?
Yeah, they're one of the most fascinating teams, I think, in the country heading into next year, because, you know, any stats that you pull up about Brent Venables' first season basically has to be introduced with the phrase "worst since 1998, which was the year before Bob Stoops was hired. They had their first losing record in conference since then. They had their first losing record overall. Everything kind of collapsed in the first year of the Brent Venables era. And, you know, some Oklahoma people tell you that the things were atrophying a little bit in the final years of Lincoln Riley, but the reality is, you know, the year before he left, he won, you know, 10 games and then left for USC. So I think that for them, they're really struggling and to try and figure out what their identity is and who they want to be long term. Obviously, their focus is bigger than this one season. They're trying to get themselves ready for the SEC. They're trying to be ready to be nationally competitive in the expanded college football playoff. But, you know, heading into 2023, they are really relying heavily on the transfer portal to bring some immediate success. They have a great high school recruiting class coming in as well, but, you know, they have a lot of holes to fill. And we saw last season, you know, this was a shallow team. This was a really shallow team. When Dylan Gabriel went out at quarterback, you saw that this team really had nothing else to offer. And with running back Eric Gray and wide receiver Marvin Mims off to the NFL, you know, this is just not an especially dynamic team, and that's going to have to change heading into 2023. So I think this is a little bit of a rebuilding year for them still. You know, I'd almost compare it to, I feel like they're a step behind timeline-wise to where Texas was maybe a year ago. And so I think that you are looking at Oklahoma being an 8 or 9 win team, being really competitive, still having some warts, and maybe the year after that in 2024, you start to see them pushing for 10 wins again.
Shihan Jeharaja joining us on the program, college football, national college football writer for CBS Sports, and does a fantastic job breaking down this schedule release. Settle something for us, though, before we get to the Super Bowl coming up in a couple of weeks. Is Jalen Hurts a Big 12 quarterback, or is he an SEC quarterback? Then we can look at it, because everybody's claiming him right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. Well, look, I think that Alabama fans have every right to claim him, to be clear. Like, he started for multiple years there. You know, it's not like a Joe Burrow Ohio State situation where he didn't even really play there. But the reality is, watch him play today. The player that played at Alabama is not the player that's playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. It was the one that developed under Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. So I think that, for me, he's pretty clearly, you know, if you have to pick one, a Big 12 quarterback, an Oklahoma Lincoln Riley quarterback. But again, that doesn't mean that Alabama can't claim them. It's just you got to watch the game.
We appreciate it. Shihan Jeharaja, you can follow him on Twitter. Find his byline there, CBS Sports. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll chat again. I hope you make it out to Provo this year.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, you bet. All right, there you go. Let's take the break here. Can we come back? Should we play that message from T. Boone Pickens? I thought that was nice of Oklahoma State. I know he's since passed, but they were able to, through AI and through you know, just planning, they were able to figure out a nice message from the dearly departed T. Boone Pickens from Oklahoma State. Plus other folks who've been leaving nice messages with BYU today as well. All that coming up. More to go around the corner. Before we do, though, RGS Exteriors can help you give that look to your home. If you want to not keep up with the Joneses, you got to be the Joneses. Let's go. Get that stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding, and that new look for this year by giving them a call, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110, RGS Exteriors. We'll take the break here. What are the odds is next? Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The bet is to you.
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen?
This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott, I will tell you, in the break, we have these long pieces of paper that are between the that I assume you stole from, like, one of those specialty printers outside.
They're just sheets of paper that were sitting on a countertop.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're like,
they didn't have anybody's name on
right,
them.
They're long.
Yeah.
And Scott's got, like, I don't know, six or seven plays on a sheet here. And he'll go through during the break and he'll show me which ones work in the red zone, which ones are great two-minute drill situations. It's kind of fascinating. And then he gets mad if I don't pay enough attention to it. It's like we're back in meetings or something. Like, I wasn't a pro. Don't try to get me to pay attention to the
I'm
when you draw it up.
To give you, like,
I know. I'm like, it's an education.
Insider baseball.
I'm like, huh, that's
man.
Interesting. And you go, you don't care, do you? I'm like, what are we doing? What are you, Don Shula, coming after me because I fell asleep during your meeting?
Pretty much.
You know, this play right here. We got these two guys. It's interesting. It is fascinating. I think people will like that kind of stuff. And I just, you know, on about the 10th play, my eyes glaze over because I'm not smart.
I know.
I can't follow it. No.
It's very true. Tyler Huntley made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I don't get it.
He's like the fourth or fifth guy.
Is it the Pro Bowl when it's a flag football game?
No.
I guess, and Derek Carr's like, hey, my fourth Pro Bowl. And everyone's like, okay. Yeah. I'm not trying to listen. I'm glad you said it because I'm not trying to diss on Tyler Huntley.
No,
the guy was put in a
tough
spot.
Tyler Huntley did not have a Pro Bowl year.
No, I don't know.
Didn't even have close to it.
It's wild, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of one of those things where Doug Peterson actually looks like he's losing some weight. Is that good for him?
No, that's B roll of when he was at the Super Bowl. Yeah, no, he's. Listen, you go down to Florida, those buffets open early? And
well, no, it's when you live in Philadelphia, man. Those Philly cheesesteaks. See, look at the Jaguars. He actually looks better.
That is not the Jaguars. That's the Eagles.
That's the Eagles, but it's intermixed.
Yeah. I'm glad we're talking about Doug Peterson's weight.
Well.
Yeah, see, I told you. That he's got that Jaguar extra, that anxiety of being the coach of the Jaguars you put on in the offseason, you put on a few pounds.
You know, every time it's so funny because we were teammates together.
I know.
And we used to work out every day for like 4 years when I was with the Miami Dolphins. And he was just this, He was a guy. He was on the practice squad.
Right, and you didn't think to yourself, this guy's probably going to win a Super Bowl with one team and then be on the cusp of turning
it on. I would never in a million years in those days go, you know, and at that time, you know, I was, you know, I was just a backup to Dan Marino. I'd never played.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, guess what? DeMeco Ryans has been hired as the Texans head football coach. Spent six seasons as the last 2 years as the DC there at the 49ers. And then, of course, he's been with the 49ers for 6 years, but he was played linebacker, of course, with the Texans. So he's kind of headed home, I guess. Jer, is this a good hire for your guys for the Houston Texans there?
They're a mess, so he's a good guy. Look at the Niners stuff. He'll be fine.
People were saying that he might not have been, he might have been the first choice for the Broncos job, which reportedly is going to Sean Payton as of today. So Sean Payton is your new Broncos head coach. DeMeco Ryans is your new Texans coach. It's a whole new look. Now, and I thought about it, and I went, oh, I'm going to go the Scott Mitchell way of thinking, which is, no, you want to go to the place where the basement is. You're already there, and so the only way is up. In the Texans situation, the only way is up.
Well, the Broncos isn't any different.
No, it is, because expectations – Texans fans don't have expectations. Texans ownership is like, hey, man, we kind of are what we are. The Broncos are like – we have Russell Wilson. We better figure it out now. They bring in Sean Payton, and I think that that's your best shot if you're a Bronco fan.
If I was ever in that situation, and I was like, okay, which of those two places would I rather coach, the Houston Texans or the Denver Broncos? And I'd say I'd rather be in Denver.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I'm just saying, if you're like a brand new coach, might be a good start. And you played there, maybe you have a little bit of love for the city of Houston.
The problem is you go to a place like Houston and you don't do well, which is a high probability.
Yeah,
you end up like Lovie Smith, or you end up like no, really, I know, don't mean just, it. And, yeah, the guy before whoever he was. Exactly. Romeo Crennel? Didn't he? Wasn't he there for one point? For a hot minute?
He was there for a minute. Yeah.
Who else was there? Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien, was he the one who took him to the Super Bowl?
Did the Texans?
Super Bowl?
I'm just kidding. The Texans in the Super Bowl. I mean, they almost were a winning team at one point. I mean, JJ Watt, they've had some amazing players.
Hey, you guys have almost been a winning team at some point in your lives.
They beat Josh Allen before he was good.
Mm. Yeah. They beat Josh Allen like week one of his career. Good job. All right, so what are the
odds? They used to have Deshaun Watson.
They did.
Right?
How'd that go?
Exactly. Why would you want to go to Houston? This is bad. There's bad karma there. Yeah,
It's tough being the forgotten team in Texas. Time for a market. This part of the program is brought to you by TryDayTrading.com. TryDayTrading.com. You can become a day trader yourself. It's time for some what are the odds.
Oh, what are the odds?
I give you a scenario, Scott. You give me a 0 to 100% chance the thing will or will not happen. What are the odds that the Broncos have a better record than the Texans next year?
What are the odds the Broncos have a better record than the Texans?
Yes.
You
just automatically put them. Oh, so, I'll do it even better. What are the odds that the Broncos now with Sean Payton go to the playoffs?
In year one?
Year one, man. Expectations are high, dude.
Peyton Manning, 18%. With the Broncos. Not the Colts 18, the Broncos 18.
Oh, the Broncos 18. Yeah. Very different.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a Bernie Kosar 19%.
That's a big jump.
That it happens. Couldn't think of any other 19s.
I wonder if Bernie will bet on this.
You know what? That's a thing. Bernie bet. Make it a Bernie bet.
Bernie bet.
I forgot to do this. Let's do it right now, Jer. We got this special message, or BYU at least got a special message sent to them from Oklahoma State, and I think that they did this for everybody. Now, because of technology, AI, et cetera, I don't know, Scott, how would you explain that BYU is able to get a message from the dearly departed T. Boone Pickens? How did this work, do you think?
How did it work?
Yeah.
Like I have the answer? I would say maybe they tried to go in my crystal ball. I don't know.
Well, I think they had some stuff ready for him. They knew that he was on the edge there. They knew they were going to invite some teams, and he wanted to be.
He wanted to, kind of his last words to people who are going to be new participants in his beloved conference.
Hey there, everybody. T. Boone Pickens here. I want to be the first to congratulate you,
Brigham Young University,
on your new adventure into the Big 12 Conference and say welcome. We've always respected the
Cougars
and what
BYU
stands for. We can't wait to welcome you here to Stillwater, Oklahoma. Southern hospitality at its finest awaits you when you visit here. Boy, that group of
Cougarettes
you have there sure is mighty talented. And we'll bring the barbecue as long as you bring some of your famous
funeral potatoes and cougar tail donuts.
Boy, my mouth is watering just thinking about it. Anywho, we're looking forward to many years of
Cougars
and Cowboy rivalries in the years to come. See you in Stillwater this
November 25th.
And go Cowboys.
Wow. Didn't have all the information, obviously, in 2019. When
hey,
he passed
what a
away.
Nice welcome, though, to the yeah. conference. That's,
hey, when a billionaire,
that's class right there.
When a billionaire says, I mean, personalizes a message for yeah. you, that's a really freaking big deal, yeah. man. Good for them. There's Oklahoma State.
Is that, is that cut and paste? Is that how they do that?
Well, I think that, you know, they didn't know exactly who the teams were, obviously. I think they kind of had in their head, you know, hey, BYU could be one of these teams.
Well,
that's why it was such
a personalized
message.
At least they didn't say, enter your name here.
That actually probably, they're like, oh, you missed one, T Boone. Jeez. Forgot about that. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. Hey, we've got some tickets, though, to give away first. We've got Jazz tickets to give away all day today. So call number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. Wins a pair of tickets to the Utah Jazz and Dallas Mavericks on February 6th. Call number 12 right now on a Team 49 Don't Tank on Me Now Ticket Tuesday, 801-575-ZONE. They get a pair of tickets to the Jazz Mavericks. We've given away tickets to both Mavericks games that have been here at home in this homestand. So this one will include, I'm assuming,
a Luka
Doncic appearance. We'll see. I mean, he put up 53 already last night. Didn't he come back? He's like, oh, I'm back from my injury. Put up 53 against the Pistons.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll come back right around the corner. More to go. Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com, is going to jump on and give us his first estimations of this Big 12 schedule for BYU. The excitement that Mitch must be living through right now is probably huge. Stay with us right in here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, we'll tag along. Get podcast versions of the biggest interviews and your favorite shows on the podcast page of KSLSports.com, as well as searching KSL Sports on your favorite podcasting platform.
Let's go.
This is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Sports Zone.
Let's talk plumbing for a minute. Do you have a leaky toilet, one that...
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We ride here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
BYU football
is not available at the tone. Please record your message.
Hey, it's my old buddies BYU. Steve Sarkisian here. Man, I'm so looking forward to coming back to Provo, dude. It's just going to be... Oh, wait. No, you guys are coming here. Yes. It's going to be awesome when you guys come down. And just, you know, I just want to say, always had a special place in my heart for BYU. And just all the things that they taught me there. But, man, you better get ready. We're going to whoop your – but come on down, man. I'll introduce you to Matthew McConaughey. Hook 'em horns, baby.
BYU, it's the Kansas Jayhawks here. We are going to at least kill you guys on the basketball court. You better watch out. What's up, Cougars? It's TCU. Stands for Texas Christian University. Guess we're doing this whole thing again. See ya. Hey, Cougs. It's Baylor, dude. Hey, I know we're not on the schedule next year, but, like, could you still send us some of that ice cream you guys kept giving us at the game in Provo last year? Anyway, hopefully we'll see you on the schedule or whatever. See you then, dudes.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. That was a long message they all left there. Why didn't BYU pick up the phone, though? They were busy calling their family, you know? It's like the draft. You start crying and be like, Mom, the Dolphins picked me up, dude. It's all about, I mean, what a huge day. BYU fans, it's finally here. The release of the Big 12 schedule. You heard the messages from some of those guys. T. Boone Pickens left a special message for BYU, obviously, last hour as well. So we'll play that again a little bit later. Joining us on the program right now to break down BYU's football schedule of 2023. I don't know who's more excited about this thing, Kalani Sitake or Mitch Harper, who's our BYU insider. Mitch, I mean, this has been a day you've been looking forward to forever, and here we are.
We're here, and it's finally it finally feels real for BYU being in the Big 12 Conference. I think, you know, since September 10th, 2021, this has been building to this moment, and now BYU has a schedule, and you see teams like, you know, Texas and Oklahoma State to close out a season, Iowa State. I mean, this is real now, and BYU and its new coaching staff can work towards, you know, putting together a season that could surprise some folks. It's a pretty big day for BYU football.
So when you first looked at this schedule, what just your initial very first thought, what jumped into your mind?
Well, I wanted to see what the first Big 12 game would be, and I think that if you're going to make a BYU-Kansas game interesting on a national perspective, that's the spot to do it. Any other week of the season, it probably ends up being an ESPN Plus game, and it's out of sight and out of mind. But when you add the wrinkle of BYU's first Big 12 game, that adds a little more juice to it. And, you know, Kansas has got one of the more dynamic quarterbacks in college football in Jalen Daniels. So that's going to be a fun matchup. And I'm sure it's one that BYU fans could probably gobble up some tickets and probably surprise some Jayhawk folks of BYU's fan base, their traveling party into the Sunflower State. So that was, I think, the first thing. But then the back half of the season, what was it going to look like? And to get Oklahoma on senior day, I mean, you think about all of these brutal senior days that BYU fans have had to sit through the last decade. When you're talking about Savannah State, Idaho, New Mexico State, Utah Tech, and then you get the Oklahoma Sooners, and, you know, Oklahoma wasn't great this past year, but it's Oklahoma. Yeah. And the history that program brings, what they kind of represent in college football, I mean, that's just a big thing to get them into Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And if ticket sales weren't already at a hot pace already with it being a Big 12 schedule, I can only imagine the ticket office is lighting up even more now that they got Oklahoma knowing for sure that they're going to be coming to Provo in 2023.
You look at the schedule, the way it's matched up here, and Oklahoma coming to Provo, that's obviously a big one. We were chatting about this thing about just, you know, expectations for fan bases. And in terms of, like, not playing Houston, Baylor, Kansas State, UCF all in the first year here, how does this thing go long term? How does BYU handle, because that stretch of going to TCU, going to Texas, going to West Virginia within a four-week span – that's a lot of travel, but I think that this is just something BYU fans and BYU and everybody in the Big 12 is probably just going to have to get used to.
Yeah, they just have to embrace it. And, you know, this is a one-off schedule. This is going to be something that is only, you know, there's no kind of set standards of how the schedules are built. This is just a one-year deal. And I think there's hope that, you know, Texas and Oklahoma maybe could be back next year, but I still believe that those two teams would be gone next season because, you know, the college football playoff going to the 12-team iteration. There's going to be a lot of new things changing in college athletics in 2024. It kind of feels like a nice breakaway. But for at least 1 year, this kind of unique schedule creates some challenges. And BYU knew this all along. I mean, when they got into the Big 12, they knew there was going to be some hurdles for the traveling. I was a bit surprised to see West Virginia on the schedule. I thought they would be one that maybe would be kept off, and maybe they would have put in a Kansas State or something like that, or Houston even, to maybe build up a young potential rivalry between BYU and Houston. But, you know, hey, why not dive in right away and have a turnaround of Texas and West Virginia to close out October and then start November? Unique stretch, but one that, you know, will be definitely challenging like the rest of the schedule is for BYU.
We had Shahan Jaharaja on earlier from CBS Sports talking about the schedule, and we were talking about the new teams in the Big 12, Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, and BYU. And Alex asked a question about, you know, of those four new schools, who do you think is best poised to, you know, have the most impact the soonest? And I'm curious what your thoughts are about that.
I think it's UCF. UCF, I think, has got the best overall roster of the newcomers. They've done a really good job in the transfer portal, particularly in their secondary. And, you know, Gus Malzahn's navigated Power 5 football before at the highest level. He took Auburn to a national championship game in the BCS era in 2013. And he understands the challenges that come in, week out with playing in Power 5 football. So I think UCF, from maybe the roster and also the experience and the coaching staff, I think UCF's probably in the best position. I look at Cincinnati and, you know, I had them initially at number 10 in my way too early power rankings for the season, slightly ahead of BYU. But the more I look at that program, I would maybe put them below BYU. I mean, they've had a bad offseason. Losing Luke Fickell is just, it's a complete 180 of what they could be. I mean, they could be one of those cellar dwellers potentially in the league. Scott Satterfield, he comes from Louisville, and that sounds nice on the surface, but Louisville wanted to fire him, and, you know, Cincinnati gets him. I don't know if that's a great upgrade. That's not a great get, in my opinion. And then Houston, I think, was a mess last year. I mean, they were supposed to be the group of five darling to go to the New Year's Six, and they were an 8-5 team with a bad schedule. And Dana Holgerson's been in the Big 12 before in his time at West Virginia, which was something I was looking for on the schedule. Houston does host West Virginia, so that would be kind of an interesting thing to see there. But he kind of got ran out of Morgantown. So I think that, you know, UCF, probably in the best situation, I think, to maybe have the quickest impact on the Big 12 in 2023.
We talked about some of these folks who are coming into Provo, the traveling that BYU is going to be doing as well. What excites you the most about this? And what do you think the fans are most excited about with this schedule? I mean, half of it is just that it's here. I think there honestly is something to people just going, it feels a little bit more real. But what's the stretch during the season, or what is the moment where you go, you know what, this is where BYU fans can be excited about what their future looks like?
I think that you're looking at that TCU to about West Virginia stretch. I know Texas is going to probably be gone here soon, maybe in a year, but that's kind of the heart and soul of the Big 12. You're talking about TCU being a runner-up in the college football playoff. Texas Tech, BYU hasn't played them in 83 years. They've never played them in Provo, and they're going to do that for the first time. I just think games like that, having these programs that have been, you know, kind of at the forefront of the state of Texas, coming into Provo and then traveling to Texas, I mean, that's just stuff that BYU fans have been dreaming of forever. I mean, you think about all these different things that have happened over the past decade or so where they've resorted to relying on the words of a man by the name of Tuxedo Yoda on Twitter. They've listened to the voicemails of Adriel on the Big 12 teleconference. They've listened to, like, BYU's a, quote, piece of work in conference realignment. And now to actually see a Big 12 schedule that has, you know, BYU, you know, playing on a Friday before general conference weekend, things that were perceived as hurdles in their ability to get into a Power 5 league, and it played out nicely, and it's there, and it looks, and it feels natural, and it looks like BYU belongs on that slate. And I just think that that's but that stretch of TCU to West Virginia, I think, is kind of a stretch of that grind and the challenge of week in, week out football, the Power 5 level. I think that's going to where BYU fans are going to be really kind of feeling it. Like, it's here and it's real.
There's an interesting dynamic going on in the conference where you have the new kids on the block, the BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, UCF, coming into the conference. And then, you know, and you always, they're kind of like the rookies, you know, and you got to earn your spot kind of thing. And, you know, welcome to, you know, big time football kind of mentality. And then you have two programs, Oklahoma, Texas, that are leaving, and it's kind of the other way. It's like, well, you want to stick it to these teams because, you know, they kind of shafted you. In this schedule, do you see any of that in the scheduling? Does the schedule feel fair, or are there some teams, either the guys leaving or the guys coming in, that kind of got the short end of the stick?
I thought, you know, there would be a lot more of that, you know, on this schedule potentially. But you look at the outgoing schools, Texas and Oklahoma, Oklahoma's schedule outside of maybe TCU on Black Friday, I think they're going to be the favorite in almost every game potentially. I mean, Texas is going to be top in Dallas. They're going to be an underdog probably there, but that's a pretty favorable schedule. Even Oklahoma's not great, as I said. They'll probably be a favorite. So that they did them favors, and they gave them an exception too. The Big 12 did by readjusting their non-conference schedules because they originally had an SEC game against, I believe, Georgia on the schedule, and that got readjusted because it was a conference game. So Texas's schedule is pretty tame too. I mean, I thought it was going to be a lot more blatant. Hey, you're going to Provo. You're going to Cincinnati. They do end up going to Houston. It's not going to be at Energy Stadium. It's going to be on campus at TDECU Stadium in Houston. And I know Texas didn't want that to happen. But by all means, I mean, I think one of the teams that really probably got the raw end of the deal was maybe Oklahoma State. They don't have much Texas presence in their schedule. And I know Mike Gundy has talked a lot about how critical the state of Texas is to his program and having that presence there. Outside of Houston, there's no games really against teams in Texas. So it's kind of a new schedule for Oklahoma State fans. And then you close it out on the regular season finale against BYU. That'll be kind of weird, I'm sure, for folks in Stillwater to see BYU rolling in on rivalry weekend when you're typically expecting Bedlam. But that's just the way of college football these days, and you got to adjust accordingly. Embrace these new potential traditions.
Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com. We get ready for, just imagining all the places now. It's starting to become real. The schedule finally dropped. And before we let you go, though, I mean, there's the basketball side of things, obviously, that's like going to be a difficult go. But we'll focus on the football schedule side of things and where that is. How does Kalani Sitake's team fare? Because we put a question there on Twitter. I'm not asking you to totally give us what exactly you think is going to be a win total, but what's a good expectation for fans in that first year for them to go, hey, you know what? Because I think if you have real expectations, there are the people who put out there, they'll probably go 10-2 with a schedule like this. And those people, I always want to be friends with them because I'm like, what's going on in your head if you really believe that? But what's a real expectation for BYU fans next year going to the Big 12 in terms of wins and losses?
I think 5 to 6 wins. I think this schedule could set up a lot like what Kansas did this past year. I mean, BYU got some favors in the early part of the schedule. You could draw up a path where BYU opens up the schedule 5-0, maybe. I mean, that's very bold. But you could draw that up where you could see them upsetting in Arkansas. And BYU's got a history of pulling an upset in revenge games. And then Kansas is not a world beater. You could take them down. And then Cincinnati at home, I just laid out, the issues with them. That you could win that game. So you could start 5-0. But then, like what Kansas experienced this past year, you could be an underdog in your final seven. You go from TCU all the way to Oklahoma State, you could lose all seven of those games, and I wouldn't be stunned by that. So I think that 5 to 6 wins somewhere in there, I think, is realistic for BYU. Look, BYU, they personnel wise, they are not as deep as what they've been in previous years. There's not as much experience. I think the overall talent. Some of the players that they've got in, I think they could surprise a lot of folks. And I think defensively, the coaching is they're going to put BYU in a spot where they can out-scheme some of their opposition. They're going to have to. I mean, this coaching staff is going to have to earn their paycheck because talent-wise, they are not going to be better than most of the teams that they face on the field on Saturday. So you're going to have to out-scheme. You're going to have to adjust. You're going to have to, beat teams in a way that is unconventional, and they have to figure that way out. But it can be done, and I think that BYU's done a fairly nice job in the portal. They still got some flaws, though, and it's a lot of question marks heading into the year. But, I mean, for a team to have this many questions, I think Cougar fans can just enjoy the fact that, they're in the Big 12, and I think that's what ultimately they've wanted this moment for so long. I mean, you think about the last 50 years where they've been dreaming of, you chart this course of them trying to be in the national conversation. No one's going to say the Big 12 is the best league in America, but this is a moment for BYU football that they have just dreamed of for so long. And to actually have this sort of schedule and to try to see how they look and how they contend week in, week out with this sort of slate. It's pretty daunting. It's challenging for them, but I'm very curious to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, the Big 12 is just slightly behind the Pac 12.
Oh, so you knew it was. Hey, Mitch, it only took 12 minutes during the interview, but we finally got to Scott talking about the Pac 12. Always
come
has
on.
To be about the Pac 12. Well,
not always, but most of the time. I'm curious about Texas and Oklahoma. Does either of those teams winning the conference this year hurt the conference, or is it irrelevant?
I think it's irrelevant. I mean, those teams are good. I mean, Texas especially, they should win it this year. I mean, they should be at least in that Big 12 championship game. You know, I think ideally the Big 12 doesn't want them to be in it, but if they win it, so be it. You know, and I think it's a weird year with an uneven schedule. And like I said, I mean, Oklahoma could be they probably, you know, they have some issues of their own. They probably have a schedule that's set up for them to be, you know, 11, maybe 10 games. And then if you get a few toss to go your way, you could be in that hunt to be in the 14 playoffs. So I don't think that would be a knock on the Big 12. I think there's a, you know, Brett Yormark has clearly shown with what he's done in TV media rights compared to what's happening with the Pac-12 and the reports out there that they might not get what they're envisioning, and they're hoping to get what the Big 12 gets. I mean, Yormark's done a nice job, and I think that this – and they had to get this schedule out today because this was the deadline before they would have to have paid a penalty to ESPN and Fox. So this was always kind of the target that this schedule was going to come out, and it comes out today, and I think it really sets the table for a bright future ahead for these this new Big 12 going forward with Yormark and BYU's in the thick of it.
Mitch Harper. Mitch, what a fun day. Doing an awesome job. You can follow Mitch and get the latest updates on this and much more. BYU Insider, Mitch Harper for the folks. Hey, there's the dog. It made an appearance. It's been like two. It's been like 3 weeks. Hey, you listen. Yeah. I know you love that dog, and I know it was your choice to bring the dog into the home. I just thought it was nice for you to rescue that giant freaking dog, and you're just a good person. Mitch, thanks for hanging out, dude.
You bet, guys. Take
there
care.
You go. All right. You know what? Mitch, like last time that happened, he was like, I am so sorry. I was like, who cares? It's a dog. He's like, no, it's my wife's dog. All right. Mitch trying to do work at home and the dog freaking shows up. I love it. We've got more to go around the corner. When we return, we've got to, let's have a little chat. We've got some stuff to talk about. We've got some bold and stupid predictions. We still haven't been able to really talk about this. Sean Payton to the Broncos. D'Amico Ryans to the Texans. So a lot has changed. Jeremiah Jensen from KSL High Television, nice enough to jump in today with the massive world of sports news that have happened here locally and across the country. This is some big stuff. The reveal of the Big 12 conference football schedule has been really fun to roll out. We will come back. More to go around the corner. Before we do, though, ReMedical. Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic offering ED treatments that are discreet, non-invasive, and customized to your needs. ReMedical.com is the website. ReMedical. Renew, restore, reclaim. ReMedical.com. We will come back. More to go around the corner. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's hard to stop Scott from singing along to these songs, you know?
It just moves me. This music just moves me.
It's hard to get Scott not to sing along during the breaks. 311, your band of the day, brought to you by LiveNation.com. Boy, just a fun day. The NFL news, of course, D'Amico Ryans is the new head coach of the Houston Texans, and Sean Payton, that deal reportedly getting put together for him to go to the Broncos. So congrats to the Broncos fans out there. I think that's a W. That's a win for
you
guys.
You know, it's interesting. You got to give up draft picks to get your coach, you know.
And
you're a team that's trying to build a team, and you're giving up, you know.
They're giving him
the
two.
The coach doesn't play any downs. I mean, he's smart, and I'd give my right arm to play with Sean.
That's because you throw left-handed.
Well, of course, I wouldn't give my left. That would be stupid. You know, I got to at least got to have an arm.
I like that they like him, but yeah. You got to feel a little bit slighted, though. If you know that you're the second or maybe even third guy, they wanted D'Amico Ryans in Denver, reportedly. Obviously, they tried to make a run at Harbaugh, like, twice. How is Sean Payton your third choice?
Why are you running after Harbaugh?
Why are you not throwing everything you have at Sean Payton? This is a proven freaking winner.
Maybe he didn't want to. Maybe they were just like, we don't want to give up draft choices.
Jake Hatch.
I mean, the Broncos do have their quarterback already, so they're
Jake Hatch threw this out there. Jake Hatch threw this out there on Twitter, and I think a lot of folks did something very similar across the road. But I saw Jake's tweet first about it. How long until Sean Payton brings Taysom Hill to the Broncos?
Oh, that's a good move.
But I think that at this point, I mean, the Saints are pretty happy with what they've got with this guy.
Taysom Hill?
Yeah, you could argue that he had his most productive, like, multifaceted year with the Saints this year than he's had in his whole career. Now, Sean Payton kind of invented him, right? His version of who he is now.
But
they've run with him.
There's another something out there in the world, because Sean Payton is a creative guy, that could be the next. I'm not going to say it's going to be the next Taysom Hill, but it's going to be the next iteration of something that's out of the box. And, like ingenious thinking. And so that's what you're getting with Sean Payton. You're getting an ability for this guy to be creative, to find talent where people can't see it, or to get the best talent you possibly can out of people. And that's worth a lot. Worth a ton.
You know, it's just going to be nice to see the Kansas City Chiefs get challenged by somebody in that division. So the Broncos are AFC West champions again.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Broncos country.
Is that?
That's right.
Well,
is that your guy? I mean, is he really going to be the guy? Come on.
I'll tell you, yeah, he's going to be the guy. He has to be the guy. But what he is, can Sean Payton get the very best out of Russell Wilson? And let's just be candid here. If there's a coach that can do it, it's Sean Payton. I mean, it's certainly D'Amico, you know, D'Amico Cousins or D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico Ryans, yeah. D'Amico Ryans.
He, you know, I wouldn't trust that he could do that with Russell Wilson. He may be a great coach, whatever. I wouldn't trust Harbaugh to do it. I don't think Harbaugh is a quarterback whisperer. Sean Payton is.
Jim Harbaugh has never whispered a thing in his life. Everything is yelled, screamed from the mountaintop, put on a wall like a big quote, puts his own name underneath it. That quote was by yours truly, Jim Harbaugh.
He's about as subtle as the garbage truck
in the morning.
That comes every Tuesday morning at 6:30.
Although they've moved on.
And picks up the dumpster in my neighborhood.
And it's like, kaboom.
And it shakes. It shakes.
It does?
Yeah. So that's what Harbaugh is.
He's the shaking dumpster.
He's not subtle at all.
Of the league. All right, let's get to some bold and stupid predictions for the Big 12 real quick.
I got the best one.
Oh, you do? Well, it's all brought to you by the folks at RGS Exteriors. Don't keep up with the Joneses. Be the Joneses. Set the look for the neighborhood. Stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding. Get that new look for this year by calling 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110, RGS Exteriors. Okay, start with your bold and stupid prediction, Scott, for the Big 12.
All right, here's my bold and stupid prediction, and it's strictly 1,000% based on geography.
Mm.
Okay? My bold and stupid prediction is that West Virginia and UCF play in the championship for the Big 12.
Wait, who are?
West Virginia and UCF.
That is a really...
The two teams in the Eastern time zone. I mean, the Big 12 is a flyover conference. The Big 12 is in Middle America. You know, it's
not anymore, buddy.
And this year, they got
Atlantic Ocean ties now, man. Yeah,
it's going to be an ACC slash type of version of a Big 12 conference
Look, it's
championship.
They're in Orlando now. You've got to – if – aren't we naming everything now? Aren't there naming rights for everything? I saw Disney's on the Magic jerseys, on the Orlando Magic jerseys. Why can't it be the Big 12 brought to you by Disney? Come on. Get on board. The Broncos have Walmart. The Big 12 could have Disney. Let's go. And then your ESPN stuff's done. It's all figured out.
Right.
You got that ESPN tie. My bold and stupid prediction wasn't, I guess compared to that, it was more on the bold line and not as stupid. But I just said one of the new four teams in the conference will get to the conference championship game.
So I covered that one as well.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. I thought mine was a little bit more, reserved. I thought I was crazy just saying one of the new four conference members will go to the conference championship game. Look, it almost happened. Well, I mean, what was it? Colorado took that chance away from Utah in year one. And it was what? I mean, Colorado ended up getting to the conference championship game in 2016. Yeah. Isn't that what it was? I mean, so you could be technically a not very good football team and maybe string it together.
The transfer portal changes a lot of things.
And now it does, for sure.
My concern with the Big 12 is you've got a lot of good teams, and I think there's a lot of good teams. I think there's maybe more good teams in the Big 12 than maybe any conference in the country. I mean, the Pac-12 has certainly upped its game. Like, you know, it's a very similar type of makeup. And I'm not trying to do this because it's Pac-12, whatever. I'm just being observant. I just what I believe. And I think it's hard in that scenario to have a team really separate itself. Like TCU last year, you know, kind of did it, but I just think it's hard when you're in a conference with a lot of good teams. You're just going to have one or two losses, you know, most teams, and that's kind of how it was in the Big 12, and I certainly see a lot of it. Now, here's a bold and stupid one for you, and that is Oklahoma and Texas play each other in the conference championship.
Oh, boy, that would be.
And I know Mitch Harper said, nah, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't have an impact.
Yeah, he said, which whatever.
All I know is George Klyavkov was like, please don't have USC.
I know.
He was elated. So especially if it gets down to one of those teams is going to play in the college football playoffs.
If it was both, it'd be murder, man. Ugh.
It would be horrendous.
And then because this might really be, and Mitch made it more sound like the possibility of them not being in the conference was
after this one year.
After this year is more of a possibility. But
would you be disappointed by that? Would you be disappointed that Texas doesn't get to come to Provo?
No, you know how this is. Get the 1 year out of the way. And Texas has come to Provo. And Oklahoma coming, and that's it. That's all you need is that last one.
Didn't BYU take a paternity test with Texas?
And they are the father?
It
was actually not.
Well,
with,
they kind of own Texas.
Yeah, it wasn't Texas. It was really just Manny Diaz.
Manny Diaz?
It's just Manny Diaz's defense. BYU the last two times has beaten Texas. So there's that. And they've beaten Oklahoma too. In the most recent games with those two teams, BYU's 3-0.
Yeah.
That's what BYU fans hanging on to right now. And so here's my bold and stupid. Because BYU does show up for Texas. They do show up for Oklahoma. Now, that's not to say they're not going to show up for everybody, because it's just going to be a crazy go.
It's hard the way they're built right now to just show up every week.
Here's my bold and stupid, though. Right. They're going to beat OU in Provo. They're going to beat Texas in Austin.
Ooh.
But they're going to lose to Kansas, and they're going to lose to West Virginia.
Oh.
It's a very BYU thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That Kansas game's a tough one because they're going to be new
beginnings.
They're showing up with their freaking
BYU
bells on, man. But they're going to show up with bells on in Lawrence. It's their first conference game of the Big 12. They are going to be so jacked up. And it's a great game to go because out of those two football programs, the one with the better history is by far BYU. Is that dumb for me to say? No.
I think
Kansas is not a football program.
I think what you're going to find with BYU, and they, you know, they talked a good game with Independence, and they tried to, you know, put lipstick on that pig for a while and dress it up, you know, as best they could. BYU fans are going to go, oh, wait, we have conference players, all conference players. We have a conference championship, and we're in the conference championship. And all of a sudden, you know, middle, late part of November, every game becomes meaningful. Every game at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, wow, this has conference championship implications on it. It's not, oh, yeah, we're trying to compete so we can become bowl eligible. We're trying to finish out our season so we don't feel bad about our season here. You know, we're trying to get above 500, or we're trying to win 7 games or 8 games this season. And that pales in comparison to be saying, hey, this week, like, if we win this game, we're in the conference championship, or we're, you know, and so I think that's over time, BYU fans are going to go, this is so much better than Independence.
Oh, I mean, next year you're already going to see it. It's just going to be amazing. And that's while you're getting your butts kicked in basketball, and while you're struggling through like a Big 12 schedule in football. Like, something struggling through means these games are worth way more than they've ever been in a long time for you at home.
So I'm going to go back,
especially
to
late in the season.
I'm going to go back to something I said in the beginning of the program. The best thing BYU has for it is they have a university that sports matters. You know, their basketball program matters, their football program matters. And they may, you know, they're entering uncharted territory. You know, this is virgin ground, never been here, don't know how to handle this. And they don't know what they're in for. And no one knows what they're in for. But, you know, it's going to be a long road probably in the basketball department. Long road. And so, but you know what? You figure out how to win through losing. You really do. You figure out, you go, okay, because it tells you where you are, and it's honest. It's like, you guys are stink. You got to get a lot better. And they'll figure out how to do that because it matters to them. They care.
Let me give out some Jazz tickets right here before we get out to the break. Let's give you some tickets to the Jazz versus the Mavericks. It is a Team 49 Don't Tank on Me Now Ticket Tuesday. 801-575-ZONE is the number. If you are caller number 12, you get a pair of tickets to the Jazz Mavericks next week, February 6th. 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. Say something nice to Jeremy on the phone and get yourself some tickets. So there you go. Caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. We'll come back. I've got some more to share. I've got the I was looking at the bowl schedule for 2023 as well, and all the bowl tie-ins. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And
you go, well, okay.
I'm going deep on this one.
You are.
So I'll give you some options for BYU of where they could end up next year. Because isn't it nice not to already know, hey, you win 6 games, you're going to go to the Liberty Bowl.
They going to go to the Potato Bowl anymore?
Is that No. Oh, believe me, I think you'll be glad to go to a bowl game next year. And you don't care where it's going to be, and you don't care what the affiliation is. But these are the bowls coming up next that we're going to roll out for you that have the affiliation to the Big 12. We'll come back. More to go around the corner, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And now, a look at traffic from the KSL Traffic Center.
Time for a check of traffic on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. So far, good on most of the Valley Road.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Big 12 schedule day. Where were you when? This, honestly, I mean, maybe I'm overdoing it. Hey, BYU fans, this is as good as it gets when it comes to excitement level. You think about that September 21st of 2021, the invite, or maybe it was just September of 2021, the invite to the Big 12. Since then, I think this is the most excited I think I've seen BYU fans about this new schedule. The football schedule rolls out, and it's just as we've talked about how big it is for the state to have bigger football in the state every weekend. in Salt Lake and in Provo. That's a huge deal.
Look,
it was an embarrassing thing for BYU to have an Idaho State or a Wagner or whomever, like, late in the season when you're watching Utah play USC.
Independence sucked.
As a conference mate. And so that's tough.
Independence sucked.
It did.
It's terrible.
But you know what? Independence also, you have to give it its due because Tom Holmo navigated that as well as you could do. And 2020 was unbelievable in how he was able to make that happen. And that was a huge difference maker, and I think as to why an invite came too. So, yeah. So that's what I was. That's all I wanted to say about that. All right. Let me see here, Scott. I saw something crazy today. When you talk about like teams who are getting, you know, quote unquote screwed by their by the schedule makers, somebody's going to be upset. Texas is going to Houston, which I will just tell you from a Texas standpoint, the Longhorns hate that. These aren't even little brother. This is like a second cousin. And you're going to their stadium to play. That feels like a little bit of a slight to them, I guarantee it. And then they also have to go to Waco and to Fort Worth. So almost all their games that they're going to be playing in state, they get to host Texas Tech, but their three of their in-state rivals, quote unquote, who aren't really rivals, are going to be Texas has to go to them. I love that Houston gets that.
And in the future, it's only going to be Texas A&M.
What does that mean?
When they're in the SEC.
Oh, I thought you meant like, are Texas and Texas A&M going to really, is that going to end up being a thing though every year?
It's
got to be. You think it's going to be every year?
It has to be.
Yeah, this is the SEC, of course.
You say that, but you know as well as anybody, Jeremy, Texas A&M pretends like they tried a big time.
The SEC is much bigger than Texas.
They are.
My brother would tell me, he's like, I do not want to play them ever again. I'm like, you're an idiot. We know BYU grad.
But you know what that feels like. Yeah, he's an A&M guy. BYU fans and Utah fans on both sides, they can relate to that sentiment because there are people who feel like, I will never play. But I will tell you right now, from just a historical standpoint,
you know,
it's
why
a real bummer that BYU is playing at Arkansas instead of playing at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Playing Florida, but that's a real bummer. That needs to come back to the schedule.
Yeah, but if I'm a Utah fan, I'd rather play Florida than BYU at this point.
I get it.
But I think having the rivalry game, I'm all for that.
Figure out how to make it happen.
And I think people don't want to have the game because they don't want to run the risk that they're going to lose. Because they just don't want to hear the crap from their neighbor or someone they go to church with or whatever. They just don't want to hear it. And I don't think the rivalry between Utah and BYU is any more vicious or, you know, uncivilized as any rivalry. It's just a game, people. It's just fun to kind of have that whole thing happen. And I just think it's so good to have. I just do. I hope it comes back. So
I do too.
The dust settled with all this stuff and new schedule and got your new conference.
Think about it. It's 45 minutes away from one another, right? You're an hour away from one another.
50, but yeah.
You're an hour away from one another. With the police escort, it's 45 minutes, Scott.
Yeah. Well, that I didn't factor.
You get that. Yeah. You get the police escort. So you're 45 minutes away from each other, and you're both in big conferences. Just on top of the history part of it, it just is. Will you please just put the pride aside, both sides, and just freaking figure it out?
So you talk about, you know, traffic and police escorts.
Mm-hmm.
So Monty Kiffin was coaching at USC, and his son Lane was there.
Yeah,
and they came to Salt Lake, and so I was on the field before the game, and I went up and said hi to Monty because he coached against me when I was in Detroit. He was in Tampa for quite a few years. So we're chatting, and Lane comes up and introduces himself, and he goes, "Man, I was so worried about the traffic, you know, because L.A., it's like 2 hours.
For sure."
And he goes, "I was worried it was going to take me a couple hours to get from downtown Salt Lake up here on this hill to this, this game." And it's like
a little different.
Yeah, traffic here is.
But it's the case in L.A. where they go.
He goes, "We got here way too early."
Well, they go, "Where are you?" Well, I'm in. I'm in Tooele. That's a 4.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
You're going to get through that Salt Lake traffic. It's going to be a 4 hour drive. It's like, no. Everybody else in the world doesn't have to deal with that traffic. Well, I guess, you know what? Who's dealing with traffic like that now? People in Texas. That Dallas-Fort Worth area is a freaking mess. All right. We'll take a break. Hey, when we come back, we've got more. Jeremiah Jensen, so nice of JJ to come in a little while to roll this out. This will be his second day in a row, but I think he will agree that there is a good reason to have him on 2 days in a row with the news that dropped today, not just in the college football realm for BYU fans and the Big 12 scheduled to drop, but also the NFL and some hiring of new coaches, including for his beloved Broncos. We'll get his thoughts on that next. ReMedical, you guys, Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic, offering ED treatments that are discreet, non-invasive, and customized to your needs. ReMedical.com is the website. We'll take the break. We'll come back. Jeremiah is going to join us next right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey there, everybody. T-Boone Pickens here. I want to be the first to congratulate you,
Brigham Young University,
on your new adventure into the Big 12 Conference and say welcome. We've always respected the
Cougars
and what
BYU
stands for. We can't wait to welcome you here to Stillwater, Oklahoma. Southern hospitality at its finest awaits you when you visit here. Boy, that group of
Cougarettes
you have there sure is mighty talented. And we'll bring the barbecue as long as you bring some of your famous
funeral potatoes and cougar tail donuts.
Boy, my mouth is watering just thinking about it. Anywho, we're looking forward to many years of
Cougars
and Cowboy rivalries in the years to come. See you in Stillwater this
November 25th.
And go Cowboys.
Wow, isn't it amazing how technology works? JJ just resurrecting the dead over here. They knew. The thing is they knew T-Boone didn't know who they're going to invite. He just said, look, I know you're going to use this in the future. Just I'll record a welcome to whomever it might be. You guys fill in the blanks. Worked
it's
out.
It's like the old Dana Carvey skit when he's Tom Brokaw and he wants to go on vacation.
Attacked so by a pack of wolves.
Charles Hart. Dead today at the age of 82.
That is a fantastic.
Eaten by a pack of wolves.
Dana Carvey doing
Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw.
Oh, yeah. No, that was great, though. Rest in peace, T-Boone Pickens.
Yeah.
Listen. From the crypt.
Rest in peace, Dana Carvey? No, he's still
alive.
He's
still alive.
Oh, no, Dana's still with us.
I know he is.
Tom Brokaw's definitely dead, though.
Is he?
Brokaw's still with us, too.
No, he's still around.
I'm just killing people off.
Speaking of not around, the Shirley died? Of Laverne and Shirley.
She did? I know. That's right.
That was sad.
Yeah. I think we all know that she was the lesser of the two, though, right?
Oh. Well, as far as... Well, Laverne was the first name.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
She was the less obnoxious one.
Yes, that's true. Oh, my goodness. No, it was Barbara Walters. She was in that category. She passed away recently.
Barbara Walters.
Wawa. Hey, Jeremiah, some stuff happened today.
Yeah, it's been a day. It's been a little busy.
JJ's joining us, and our show is always brought to you by G2G Bars and also Trajan Wealth this hour. Call today for your local trusted financial fiduciaries to give you that tip on how to retire. 801-899-7600 or TrajanWealth.com. Well, I don't know. Let's start first with your Broncos, just because we've been talking so much about the – we've been front-end loaded with the Big 12 schedule. We'll get to that in a little bit. But Sean Payton reportedly going to be signed up with the Broncos. Is it weird that it feels like he's almost like the third option at this point? Because they were really trying to run down D'Amico Ryans, who ended up at the Texans. And obviously they took a couple runs at Jim Harbaugh, it sounds like. And then Sean Payton goes there for a couple of picks. Do you feel like this is a good deal? I feel like this is a massive day for Broncos fans.
I think this is who they wanted all along. So I wouldn't consider this the third choice. I think they interviewed a lot of guys. I think they went through an exhaustive process. I don't think anybody thought seriously that Jim Harbaugh was going to leave Michigan But he does that all the time, right?
Sure.
How many times has he threatened to leave college to come back to the NFL? But this is a big day for the Broncos. They needed to do two things in this coaching search, in this hiring of a coach. Number one, they had to hire a head coach with a track record of success because their last three hires were assistant coaches. It did not go well. They need a culture change there, and they need somebody that can come in that has experience and who has more experience that was available right now than Sean Payton. And he's a Bill Parcells' disciple. He won a Super Bowl 15 years with the Saints. Tutor Drew Brees, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's exactly what they're looking for. The other thing they needed to find was somebody who has success with quarterbacks because right now they are 100% invested in Russell Wilson. This has to work. They have spent too much money and lost too many draft picks on this. They have to figure it out. Russell Wilson has to succeed next year and beyond. So they had to bring in somebody who has a track record of being able to do that, being able to tutor a quarterback and bring a quarterback along and help them develop. And obviously what he did with Drew Brees in New Orleans is one of the great success stories in NFL history. So he checked both boxes that I think the Broncos were looking for in this process. And time will tell if it's successful. But right now, as someone who's a Broncos fan, this is exactly what they had to do. They got it done. It cost them. They have to give up their first-round pick this year. They already gave the one they owned to Seattle. But they did get one in the Bradley Chubb trade from the Miami Dolphins, but now they're giving that up too, and plus another pick as well. So this didn't come cheap. They had to pay another price for this.
That's what I'm worried about or wondering
about. Oh, no, because, I don't like
because it. Because you've got Sean Payton, and you know he won in a place in New Orleans that had no culture and had not really ever won.
No history.
I mean that was remarkable, I think, what he did just doing that, right? And it's I think it's 1,000 times harder to win in New Orleans than it just the whole nature of the city and whatever, and Denver has had a history of success and being successful. But is it, you know, Sean Payton doesn't play on the field. And is what you're getting a culture builder and someone, a quarterback whisperer, but you're giving up multiple first-round draft choices. You're giving up second- and third-round draft choices, supposedly. And is that too much? Can he do it with kind of those restraints?
I'll be honest with you guys. I didn't think he was going to be serious about the Broncos. I didn't think that he really wanted to go there. I didn't think this was going to be – I knew the Broncos would be fortunate to get him, but why would he want to come to Denver right now? You're in a tough situation with a quarterback who feels aloof and out of touch, and I'm not sure how you get him back and get him grounded so he can be humble enough to be coached. I'm really worried about that. I'm also concerned at how much draft capital this team has lost, and that is the heart and soul of how you build a program – and you build a winner in the NFL, and they don't have that right now. So how is Sean Payton going to come in and wave a magic wand and get this thing turned around quickly? It's going to be tough. It will be helped that they have a great defense. But this offense, I don't know. It's just keep in mind a lot of guys last year were injured. A couple of local guys were among those guys that were hurt, Tim Patrick and Garrett Bowles. They'll be back next year. So they have a lot of guys coming back from injury. But there's a lot of things and a lot of reservations I have about the hire because – of the compensation they continue to lose. Plus, I'm going to be honest about Sean Payton. How many guys in their second stint, other than, like, I'll throw out Andy Reid, really have success? Even Bill Parcells didn't, like, you know, I guess he did well at the Patriots, made it to the Super Bowl. So you're talking about the elite coaches.
Yeah, but nobody thinks about that as being
in the NFL
first
able to do it.
Well, Bill Belichick did it.
Is Sean Payton an elite?
Yeah, but not really in Cleveland. In my mind, I'm like, he wasn't even in Cleveland, in my head.
Well, no,
he got the Patriots to the Super Bowl. He got the Jets close. So I throw Bill Parcells
Don
out there.
But Shula did it.
The list is short. And Don Shula, you're right. People forget he took the Colts to the Super Bowl
and lost.
Doug Peterson.
We're talking about the best of the best coaches, right?
What about Doug Peterson doing it this year? I mean, in my heavens, he's turned that whole program. No, I mean we'll see. But it's interesting because Sean Payton, what's his level, you're right, of wanting to be there?
Is he as great as we think he was? You mentioned it wasn't the most difficult situation in New Orleans because the bar was low. Now it's different.
Yeah.
Now it's different.
There's a bar in Denver.
Yes,
and they're
there is.
Saying, and that's probably why D'Amico Ryans goes, I'll take the Texans.
Heck like, yeah.
I'm going to go over here.
If you haven't been a head coach before, you're taking the Texans job.
Even if you didn't like the way the circumstances, how you left that place, like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But you have to feel that way if you're the Broncos. You go, look, we've tried the coordinator route, and it just hasn't.
No, it's,
it just hasn't worked for us.
Disaster.
It's been a bust.
Just not been a good thing. I think, sorry, Alex,
no,
really
no,
quick.
Go ahead.
I think Sean Payton has an ability to think outside the box and get creative. And we talked about Taysom Hill earlier and what he did and saw in Taysom Hill that nobody saw. And now Taysom Hill is being a very effective player in the NFL and not just being there, but actually like thriving and being a significant part of what goes on in New Orleans. And that was Sean Payton. And he saw that. And I think that's what you're getting. To me, that's what you're getting in Denver. You're getting a guy who can think out of the box, get creative, and just figure out how to get the best out of whomever he has and whomever he gets.
And that's exactly what they need. They need somebody to initiate and start a culture there that can now be sustained moving forward because they lost who they were in the last 6-7 years.
Reportedly, his camp is asking between, what, $15 and $20 million a year for a freaking head coach. And I know everybody goes, open up the old checkbook, Walmart. Doesn't matter to you, but
that's fair.
But like,
they can afford them.
Is the coaching? I mean, now Sean Payton will set the bar for a guy like Andy Reid, who will negotiate in the future again. A guy like Doug Peterson,
Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, all these guys who re up their deal, and then you go, oh, we got to pay our head coaches now $18.5 million more than our wide receiver. Yeah. Right, because you go, the head coaches have never pulled in this kind of money, and $20 million seems like such a crazy place that we're going with the NFL. But the money, as Scott always points out, is monopoly money, and it really is with the coaches because it has no effect on the cap. It's just whatever they want to pay them, if they can afford it, they're going to be able to do it. So that'll be an interesting way to do it as well. Hey, let's go to the schedule. The big drop, of course, here locally was the Big 12 schedule dropping right off the bat. I think that the winners for me were. For BYU, you get to go to Texas, which they've done before, but that Texas team that they went to in 2013 was not a great team, and BYU beat up on them there in Austin. That's going to be a fun one now with Sark down there and the whole storyline there, and Texas probably leaving early or possibly leaving early out of the Big 12 with Oklahoma. Oklahoma coming to Provo, what a freaking awesome deal that is. That stretch of going to TCU, to Texas, Texas Tech comes to Provo, and then you go to Morgantown. That is a lot of travel.
Yeah.
But that's the fun that you signed up for. And that's also getting into November when historically BYU – and their November is Oklahoma and Oklahoma State to kill things off. This is just the day everybody's been waiting for if you're a BYU fan to finally go, okay, now it feels a little bit more real.
I think there were two things that I think BYU fans wanted to know and would be excited about the schedule. I think everybody – wanted to play Texas and Oklahoma before they leave, right? You wanted to see them on the schedule. And it would have been disappointing if either one or both weren't included.
That would have been wild.
That would have been really disappointing. So to have both of them on there, a chance to go back to Austin. I was at that game when Taysom, I was in the end zone when he jumped over that guy. It was just unbelievable. Great trip. It's always fun to go to Austin. And think about this. How long has it been since BYU has had a big-time opponent in Lavelle Edwards Stadium in November? Well, it's happening now. Welcome back to the Big 12. Welcome to the Big 12. You're going to have Oklahoma come to Provo in November. Oklahoma's never been to Provo. That's so cool. So the schedule, I mean, anything was going to be exciting, right? But to have it come out this way and to have those teams included is so much fun. And you're going to go to places that you've never been before. They haven't played Texas Tech since 1940. They've never been to West Virginia. So there's a lot of new and fresh and exciting things about this. And obviously you knew that was going to be the case with the Big 12, but I think this is exactly the kind of schedule they wanted. I don't think playing Central Florida and Houston was going to be exciting, and they already played Baylor twice the last 2 years, so I think that worked out really perfect.
Makes sense. Well, and my father-in-law was on those two losing teams to Oklahoma State, when they played them in the Copper Bowl and I think the Citrus Bowl or the Tangerine Bowl, I guess is what they called it back then. And those were just like, I mean – Oklahoma State ran the ball 74 times in that second game. And it was like, that's college football's changed a lot. Everything's changed here. The Big 12 is going to be, I mean, Mike Gundy going down there to Stillwater to end the regular season. That is really, really cool. And I know it could have been any version of that, but Mitch Harper said something interesting when he came on with us last hour. He goes, I can make an argument for BYU starting out 5-0. And I was like, that's a lot, except for when you look at Sam Houston State and Southern Utah to start things off, you'd have to steal one down at Arkansas.
That's tough. I don't see that.
That's a really difficult one. And then your first two games of the Big 12 are what? At Kansas.
Yeah. Cincinnati.
And then Cincinnati at home. You could make some sort of a weird argument, maybe 4-1, but then things get really ridiculously hard after that.
So I think this here's where reality is really going to start setting in is okay. So you go and get Kansas on the road. Kansas much improved, right?
Yes,
I think the quarterback returns. He was decent, but Cincinnati was in the college football playoff 2 years ago. that's not going to be easy. It's at home, but that's the easy part of your schedule. Kansas and Cincinnati back-to-back is the easy part of your schedule now moving forward. That's all you need to know about this transition.
I think what's hard, to your point there, is, you know, from year to year, I don't know that you know who's going to be good and who's going to be bad. Because we had a reporter from CBS Sports on, he said, you know, when all 14 of these teams are in, most of them were in a bowl game a year ago. And you look at Baylor a couple of years ago, and they won the conference, and they were kind of middle of the pack. I don't think anyone saw TCU, doing
Nobody.
What they did
no.
last year.
No.
So it looks like a lot of good teams, and maybe there isn't maybe Texas is going to start emerging as that team with all, they just always seem to get in their way, but they certainly have the talent. So with that being said, I mean, is there a realistic possibility, aside from starting out 5-0, can BYU be competitive?
I think they can. But we're going to have to see a lot of things happen with this football team next fall, because look at all the talent they lost. You lost an All-American offensive tackle. Obviously, they lost a lot on the offensive line as a whole.
Yeah.
Jaren Hall moving on. I mean, can Keaton Slovis provide similar type of production? Can he be steady? Can he take care of the football in the Big 12? He's going to have to in order for that offense to get going. Who's the receiver that's going to step up? I like the tight ends. I think they'll be fine there. Can Aiden Carter become the next star BYU running back? Is he ready for that role? And then on defense, can you get after the quarterback? Because if they can't, they're going to struggle, because everybody throws the football in this conference. And if you can't get to the quarterback, you are going to get lit up. So that has got to change. If those things are addressed and if they can happen, certainly they can compete in that league. Look, you mentioned Kansas. Flip a coin. Maybe they're bad next year. I don't know. Cincinnati, maybe the transition's tough for them too. West Virginia's not good. Texas Tech's not very good. So there's opportunities for wins here.
TCU's not going to have Max Duggan.
They're going to come back
to
earth
a
little bit.
Good. Yeah. Texas
is always overrated. Oklahoma was 6-7 last year.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State is going to have to break in.
Iowa State was not good.
Hey, you
last
heard it
year.
Here. Jeremiah said this conference is easy. This conference is going to be.
Yeah, that's exactly what you should take from this conversation. But my point is that while it is daunting, I'm throwing out these games that they can go get.
Why not?
Why not? Why can't they beat West Virginia? Why can't they beat Texas Tech?
They show up for big games every year anyway.
Where is Iowa State right now? I don't know.
Who knows?
I mean, so there's going to be games that are going to be had. Can they win those close games? And can they do the things I just talked about? There's going to be a lot of question marks about BYU going in the fall. Probably more question marks than we've had about that team since they went into independence back in 2011.
That's a tough place to be. You think about that in basketball and you go, hey, Tom Holmoe, athletic department, let's have a little bit of – and fans – have some patience with this thing, because Kalani Sitake is trying to put this thing together. It's going to take a minute. Mark Pope is, I mean, it's a very different ball game when you're talking about basketball, because the conference is not like, who are these teams? Are they going to be any good? It's like this entire freaking place. BYU might not win a game in
Oklahoma's
conference.
Oklahoma's near the bottom of the conference. They beat Alabama was ranked, number two?
Two, yeah.
And they waxed them.
Killed them.
The Big 12 is and Texas Tech's in last place. Their first win was against who they beat last night. It was Iowa State.
Yeah.
Iowa State's a top 10
really
team. So that conference, I mean, that's a totally different conversation. I have no idea how BYU basketball is going to be able to compete quickly in that conference. Mark they Pope's going to have to go out and get dudes.
It's gonna take a minute.
Are they ever going to compete?
Oh, come on.
No, this is. I mean,
they've got the facilities. They're in the conference now. They have facilities that rival any of these other schools.
It's going to be tough because, as we know, I don't want to dig into this, but they have challenges when it comes to recruiting.
Sure.
And in college basketball, and so it's going to be tough. But on the flip side of that, they've never been in the Big 12 before. They're now in a Power 5. They're in the Big 12, so players want to play in the Big 12. So Mark Pope's going to be able to go out in the portal and say, look, come in here and help us make this transition. You're going to get play in the Big 12. You're going to get a chance to go up against other NBA prospects and prove yourself and have film against them. Come play for us. So he'll have an awesome recruiting pitch in the portal in the offseason, but they got to go out in the portal and they got to get guys that can play at that level. They don't have those guys right now.
We've done the RV. We did the RV trip to Texas back in 2013 or 2014, whatever that year was. I always get messed up. Let's make it this year to Morgantown. Jerry, you on board?
Do it. I'm in. I'd love to go there.
Let's go
I've
to Morgantown.
I've never been to West Virginia, so I want to cross it off the list.
I will tell you, that stadium
is... We'll wear our coonskin caps.
Yes. I'll be a Mountaineer for a day. Why not? Let's get out there. That's a long trip. It's a really long trip. JJ, thanks for coming in 2 days in a row.
Yeah, you got it.
Massive
fun.
Day of sports, and obviously you'll be able to tune in. 6 o'clock, you guys will have it all covered. 10 o'clock as well. Thanks for hanging out.
You got it.
Man. Jeremiah Jensen, KSL 5 Television. Check it out. All the biggest news, of course, that dropped today, you'll get it on TV as well. We will come back. More to go around the corner. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Tim Lacombe, the coach, is going to join us next. Let's talk some Jazz since they've got a game tomorrow. And my heavens, it's going to be an interesting stretch here. Plus, I've got tickets to the Jazz Mavericks game for next week to give away on a Ticket Tuesday. Stay with us.
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, powered by G2G Bars and you. Thanks for listening to us on the program. Joining us right now, courtesy of Spherion.com, the coach, Tim Lacombe. Are you a business owner? You have better things to do than just job hunt or scramble to find a great hire. So let Spherion do it for you. Spherion Staffing and Recruiting, Spherion.com/Utah. The coach joining us here on the program. Coach, thanks for being with us, man. This is a big day. You got NFL hires across the board. You got the Big 12 schedule dropping. You got the Jazz back in action after a couple days off, some rare multiple days off. Where do you want to start, man?
Well, I comment on a cool day for BYU. Long time coming. And, you know, so excited for Tom and everybody down there has worked so hard to get that schedule and see their name on it. Man, it's crazy. So, I live about a mile from the stadium. I'm excited for some of those games to roll through. And rumor has it the Party Hounds may be playing the Plaza one night. So stay tuned. Oh.
Hey, you know what?
We will be glued to the TV.
Is it going to be Cougar Canyon? You guys are going to be jamming on Cougar Canyon, bro?
Yes, and I've signed a letter that we won't sing anything even close to, you know, anything that would destroy the canyon.
Or just don't swear. Just can't be swearing.
It just says if you do swear, it's got to be biblical in nature, and that'll
Cougar Canyon. Who are you?
Cougar Canyon, what's up? Look, Cougar Canyon hops, man, before those games. So if you guys are out there, you know, and I just imagine you and the hair rocking it and just being like, this is the kind of culture that we need right now up Cougar Canyon.
Well, we were talking to Jeremiah Jensen from KSL TV just before you came on, and he said the week that Utah plays Oregon, BYU is playing Texas.
Can you
get
imagine?
Out of here?
Yeah,
so
man.
Cool, isn't it?
And that's just awesome. That's what it is. That's what we've become, and that's just super exciting for anyone that likes sports. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, the cool, that is a cool comment, and somebody has lived in these here parts most of my life. I would say that's a dream come true for a lot of people. So, anyway, probably, you know, enough on that, but start with that because I think it's pretty darn cool.
It's awesome.
Obviously, a ton of stuff flying around the NBA and the Jazz right in the middle of a playoff race.
It's really fun, too, because you see Walker Kessler gets invited today, named to the Rising Stars little mini tournament they're doing. Do you like the setup that they're doing now where they're going to have, I think it's four teams and kind of a round robin of games?
Any change is a good change with this. It's All-Star Games was really cool. I remember racing to my television back in the 80s to watch the dunk contest, but it kind of topped out, you know. So I like the fact that they're changing it up, changing the energy, and it should be really fun. I mean, the fact that it's here, I mean, come on. We're all going to love it.
You know, we have our, of course, Jazz at 30 updates, and Will Hardy, coach of the Jazz, mentioned, he goes, you know, it's really hard for me. I have so many good players, and it's a hard choice, like who goes in the game and when they go in, and can that be detrimental to a team, or is that a good problem to have?
No, I think it can be a good problem. You know, anything that kind of gives you a little bit of experience is helpful, but definitely something that could go the other way too. But I would probably say that it's probably positive in the long run.
And you look at some guys who, you know, are going, well, I need to get my shot, man. I need more minutes. I think the way he put it was, is if you sat down and they had their lawyer in front of you, they could probably make an argument for why they need minutes every night, and they probably wouldn't be wrong. And so that balance that Will Hardy's having to figure out, that's as much of the coaching game as anything else that he's dealing with this team.
No, there's no question about that. But I also think he's approached it really well. You know, I've seen it's hard. It's hard to manage depth. It's hard to manage your bench. And I think what he's actually done is he's taken a bunch of guys who, at this point in the season, you know a little bit about traditionally, but he's given everybody an opportunity as they've earned it to get out there. And so I think as a fan base all the way to the end of the bench, we haven't seen a lot of Potter, but beyond that, everybody can kind of speak to somebody like Nickeil Alexander-Walker and what he can do, what his strengths are, what he struggles with. Certainly seen THT quite a bit. So, yes, it's a problem. It can be a problem, but I think the way Will's gone about it, he's actually made that, you know, something that could be a problem, a real strength.
So you have the lineup of Markkanen, Kessler, Olynyk, Clarkson, and Connolly. What do you like about that lineup?
Pretty versatile. You know, I'm one that the more shooting you can get on the floor, the better. So in that instance, you've got four guys and they're spaced out that you've got to close out to. Olynyk, you know, is a good three-point shooter and can have nights where he makes multiple shots. You've got the ability also on that to play a lot of ball screen. Everybody's capable there. And then Lowry, to me, is just the ultimate mismatch. What do you do with him? Who do you guard him with? And what does that do? Say you put a more agile and perhaps a better defender on Lowry and maybe a smaller guy on Kelly, and Kelly gets a free run at the offensive glass. Every night's a little bit different. But I think overall that's what's great about that lineup. You don't have a lot of guys that can make plays. You don't have a lot of space eaters, guys that teams don't have to guard and then get involved in other stuff, you know, and cause issues for other guys.
Is that the best lineup the best starting lineup the Jazz have? Is that?
You know what? There's actually a way to track that by number. But I think in terms of matching them and versatility and everything, you know, I think it's definitely makes as much sense as anything, because again, you want to, you know, you come off the bench then and you bring Jared Vanderbilt, who's, you know, you think about Vanderbilt, Scott and Alex, I'll let you guys answer this. What you think about Vanderbilt, what are some of the real strengths he brings to the game?
He's the amount of energy that Vando has is maybe as good or better than anybody else on the team.
Yeah, when he's got that energy, you know, when he's playing with good energy, that's a great one. I think we've got a winner on that one. Ding, ding, ding. What else? Give me another.
Well, he's versatile. I mean, he's a guy you've seen bring the ball down the court and shown an ability to pass the ball, but he's also a guy that, you know, can defend bigger players, and he's a very good defender.
Yeah, and he's had a night, you know, 8 assists. So. Yeah. A guy that can play with the ball in his hands.
I would say the thing that's hard about him, and when he and Walker are out there together, if you look at the spacing, you know, teams can kind of cheat off of them, and they can get further away from them and more into the line of Clarkson and Lowry. And so to even it out, to have four shooters out there, space it out, makes closeouts a little bit longer. And so I think, you know, by virtue of that, it's probably it's a good move. I think they are probably the best, you know, in terms of being able to operate out there. I really like that lineup.
Tim Lacombe joining us, the coach, of course, breaking down the Jazz pre-half and post-game with Jake Scott. And tomorrow the Toronto Raptors are coming into town. Next four games are at home. They've talked about how important these five games are at home. They got the first one against the Mavs. They're going to have the Mavericks again in town, probably with Luka this time around next week. But in this stretch right here, is there a shot for them to win out these ones at home? They certainly haven't been very good on the road compared to being at home.
Yeah, I think there is a chance. We've got Toronto coming up, you know, and there's a ton of talk around Toronto that, you know, OG Anunoby's a guy's name thrown around a lot. Fred VanVleet's name thrown around a lot. So, teams, you know, up against the deadline, got a lot on their minds and more on the road. So, I think the Jazz, you know, got a good chance with some rest to get that one. And then you've got Atlanta after that. I like the Jazz in that game at home. I just think the Jazz physicality. Dallas makes their return. You know, last time the Jazz faced Dallas was the last game. The Jazz won that 108-100 without Luka. So certainly a game they can win with or without him. And then Rudy Gobert finishes it off. He makes his second trip to Salt Lake and hopefully won't shoot after the, you know, shoot a meaningless shot at the end and kind of sour the night that night he came here was crazy. But long answer, yes, I think they can win all four. I think of those four, probably the Minnesota game, with how they're playing, that's probably the one that stands out as the toughest. Dallas, obviously, if Luka's back.
So what's the best, like, strategy for the Jazz to finish out the season? You know, is it to I don't know. What do you think it is? Is it to make trades? Is it to ride this season out? Is it to try to finish in a certain spot? Is it what's the best strategy for the Jazz?
So I think, as always, right now, I think what they're looking at is opportunity. It does seem to be a much more of a you know, there's a lot more guys available. You know, you'd kind of hope that Mike Conley might be the only guy, you know, if you're going to make a move and that price gets driven up. But it's going to be pretty selective out there. And I know this. The Jazz are probably looking at and involved in everything. But I would say you can continue to progress with the team, you know, with their mindset. I know they've got the standings posted on the door of the locker room that was talked about. So to them, it's, you know, finishing strong and figuring out a way to get into the playoffs. If a trade were to happen, you know, is it a trade that actually accelerates that? Is it a trade that slows that down? I think both are probably on the table. And really, I've answered this question almost the same every week, and I feel stupid about it, but it really is true. I feel like until moves are made, we really don't know. But I do believe that the end game is to continue to improve this franchise. And whether that's done, you know, quickly, where they can get something done right away, or something down the road, ultimately Coach Hardy's, you know, his mission is the same: get this team through as well as possible. You know, they talk about the playoffs a lot, so that's what my mind is on. And the games have really slowed down. They played so many early that this is going to come back to really help the Jazz, you know, to have them really fresh down the stretch. So your guess is as good as mine. I think we can get way more definitive February 9th when the trade deadline comes and goes.
You know, I saw you tweeted out today. There was just like, wow, the Phoenix Suns are expecting to make significant changes in their roster. Sources saying that the team has come to terms with the likelihood that Chris Paul is starting to decline. I thought, wow, that is like a duh moment, I guess, there. But you tweeted out simply windows close, and that Suns team had a shot, and it went away pretty darn quick, or at least this iteration of them.
And honestly, guys, unless you're you know, the Warriors, and you've got that nucleus that kind of hangs together, and every playoff run, you know, every time the playoffs come around, those guys are going to unite, and I guarantee they'll be in the middle of everything. Beyond that, you know, windows do. They're very narrow. We saw it here in Utah. Just about the time we all got excited about the Jazz kind of being mentioned in contender status, it was pretty much gone. And so you do have to make all these decisions leading up to it, do the very best job you can. But in the end, only one team can win, and that's what makes this so awesome and so aggravating all at the same time.
Tim Lacombe, if you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. It's just T. Lacombe, at T. Lacombe, and then you get some of those breakdowns. And periodically you'll get you'll just get these nuggets of wisdom from Tim Lacombe across all sports and everything in between. Plus, he lists jobs for Spherion right there, too. So if you're looking for gigs on top of sports takes, you get them from Tim Lacombe. Thanks, Coach. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Hey, thank you all so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. There's the coach.
always welcome.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Well, we got to give away some tickets. Is that what you said? Let's give away some tickets then. We got Jazz Mavericks tickets for next week on February 6th. A pair of tickets to caller number 12 right now. 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-6397. 888? No, I'm just kidding. 801-KSL Zone. That's how you have to remember it. 801-575 Zone. Caller number 12. I'm trying to really throw off the people who aren't true followers. Jer, come on. I'll throw out just a bunch of different phone numbers. You pick the real one. That's how we do it on contesting here. 801-575 Zone. Caller number 12 gets a pair of tickets to the Mavericks and the Jazz next week. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got our 2-minute drill around the corner. Such a ridiculous day of news and so many things to talk about. So we'll try to put a bow on this hour at least, and we'll come back. More to go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
And now, a look at traffic from the KSL Traffic Center.
Time for a check of traffic on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Big jam brewing on the South Belt, 215 eastbound. Big wreck clearing.
Let's do it. Let's do the thing, bro.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
BYU football
is not available at the tone. Please record your message.
Hey, it's my old buddies BYU. Steve Sarkisian here. Man, I'm so looking forward to coming back to Provo, dude. It's just going to be... Oh, wait. No, you guys are coming here. Yes. It's going to be awesome when you guys come down and just, you know, I just want to say always had a special place in my heart for BYU and just all the things that they taught me there. But, man, you better get ready. We're going to whoop your – but come on down, man. I'll introduce you to Matthew McConaughey. Hook 'em horns, baby.
BYU, it's the Kansas Jayhawks here. We are going to at least kill you guys on the basketball court. You better watch out. What's up, Cougars? It's TCU. Stands for Texas Christian University. Guess we're doing this whole thing again. See ya. Hey, Cougs, it's Baylor, dude. Hey, I know we're not on the schedule next year, but, like, could you still send us some of that ice cream you guys kept giving us at the game in Provo last year? Anyway, hopefully we'll see you on the schedule or whatever. See you then, dudes.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. You didn't know people were going to be calling BYU, so why isn't BYU picking up the phone? That's the question. My heavens, what a day, Scott. What a day of news. Can you believe it's finally here, the Big 12 schedule? And don't you dare try to take this away from me. It's a big deal, Scott.
I think it's amazing, and I think it's really exciting. And I've always felt, you know, having two Power 5 teams in the same state and, you know, the state of football and in the state of Utah is just getting better and better and better, and it's just remarkable to see. So
do we not know? Okay, so we do know. I'm trying to look because this happened earlier, we were talking about what games BYU is going to be playing and what games that Utah is going to be playing, like, on the same weeks, because we are going to be massive sports honks about it, and we are just going to be like, hey, man, this is what we want. We just want a full weekend of massive football here in the state. And I'm looking at this thing, and yeah, so when it comes to, and it's not loading for me, of course, because I'm looking at the schedule for what it must have shut down just because everybody was like freaking out about it. But here it is, the Big 12 schedule of, okay, so October 28th, BYU is at Texas, and Oregon comes to Utah. So that is an insane weekend. But even just like those, that matchup, and you start to look at what some of these other games are across like the entire state. You know, you're just going to be, you're going to get tons of amazing games every week, and there's not really going to be a week that you take a break. Maybe eventually there are going to be some games, Scott, that you roll your eyes at and go, great, Iowa State's garbage this year, or whatever. But at this point, for the next little while, there's going to be a honeymoon that we are going to be living through as people who are watching, you know, BYU and Utah being able to play these massive games every week. Scott, two-minute drill music means one thing. We're doing a two-minute drill. Would you like to explain what it is for me?
I'd love to. Late in a football game, you got to go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. You don't have a lot of time, so you hurry. Our show's the same way. Still have a lot to talk about, not a lot of time. We talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish show, go home happy with the trophy, because we all get one for participating, along with a plethora of desserts that include chocolate souffle, flan from Spain, key lime pie from Florida, gelato from Italy, baklava from Spain, and cake from Walmart, the owners of a new football coach in Denver.
Yeah, the jokes continue about being a Walmart employee, right? I'm sure that's what Sean Payton loves. Keep talking about that. So I'm looking at these again. Some of these things matching up. So September 23rd, for example, that first Big 12 game for BYU is also the first Pac-12 game for Utah.
Yes.
So playing UCLA here in Salt Lake,
yep.
and BYU's on the road at Kansas. The next week, Oregon State and Utah. The next week for BYU is Cincinnati and BYU. Cal and Utah the same week as TCU hosting BYU. It just goes on and on. Like, these are just amazing games. And Washington and BYU. Okay, that's the other thing. Washington and Utah are playing the same week that Oklahoma is coming to Provo. Utah goes to Washington the same week that Oklahoma is being hosted by BYU. Just massive amounts of awesome football to be had there. So there you go. Hey, that does it for us. Scott, did you have a fun time today?
Well,
or at least this
show
hour?
Went fast.
Yeah, we're still going here, so we'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go around the corner. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right. Welcome back. Final segment of Unrivaled today. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Hey, Scott, I was telling you earlier about how Nick Saban... Boy, Nick Saban's salty, isn't he?
Dion likes him.
Dion does like him.
I think Nick Saban is honest. And he's, you know, to be a coach, you kind of have to be salty. I think to be a good coach, you have to hold everyone to a standard all the time. And you know, you just can't be everyone's friend. You just can't.
Nick Saban's grumpy, for sure. And I'll tell you what happened with the grumpiness, because he got mad that UW's offensive coordinator, who they offered the job to at Alabama, he got grumpy that he didn't take the job. Washington's offensive coordinator is going to stay with Kalen DeBoer.
Yep,
that's a big deal because Alabama wanted you, and he goes, "Nah, I think it's going to be a better deal there." And then I will share with you, though, this an interesting thing I read about the NIL stuff and how crazy that space is. Nick Saban revealed that he told two recruits that the offer doesn't stand and that Alabama's not for them and they are not going to have them and we'll see you later and don't call back. One of them included a guy who wanted $800,000, which doesn't sound like that much.
Right.
Compared to the money that we've seen thrown around. 800 grand on top of it, the $800,000, he asked for Nick Saban to get his girlfriend into law school and to pay for it.
Oh, wow.
Like, that is some – what's wow. wild is
– wow.
That's like some, you know, SMU well, stuff it's, back it's, in the
it's
80s,
kinda
you know?
Like, you, okay, if she's your girlfriend and you really want that badly and they give you $800,000
– you could pay for
why
it
why don't
yourself?
You go do it?
Well, not only that, getting her in is like – I'm telling you, law school. Getting her into Alabama is one thing. Getting her into the law school
yeah.
is not something you mess around no. with. Like
any law school is probably not going to go. You know, we really don't care that much about Alabama football.
No. And on top of it, like you think that the Varsity Blues case with your Laughlins and your what have yous, like that whole academic fraud stuff. It goes to another level if you're starting to screw people out of law school.
You're hearing more and more of this where these coaches are being less inclined to, you know, have someone hold a gun to their head about NIL.
Yeah.
And really the reality is, you know why? Because you can always go on the transfer portal.
Yeah.
You don't have to be beholden to these players. It's a simple math thing. NFL money, way more expensive. Probably anywhere you go today, Alex, you're going to get – you're gonna. I know it's time to go. You're gonna get. You're gonna get something. You know.
Yes.
You're gonna get kicking around money. You're not gonna be poor in college, but go somewhere where you can really develop to go to the NFL. That's the smarter
move. Girlfriend. She's not even gonna be your girlfriend next year.
It's true.
All right. For Jeremy and Scott, I'm Alex. We'll be back again tomorrow on Unrivaled. We'll see you then, everybody. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.